United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned.
Conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Never be the same. Girl, you came and changed the way I walk, the way I don't. I cannot explain the things I feel for you. But girl, you know it's true. Stay with me, I feel my dreams, and I'll be all you need.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I have to tell you that I'm playing Michael Jackson because I have to hand it to the Ohio State Marching Band on Saturday. Wow, they did a tribute to Michael Jackson, and it was unbelievable. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 6 minutes after the hour of 12 o'clock here on the 21st of October. Ben's sitting in the studio looking at me like I'm crazy. What?
I just want to know how the Ohio State football team did.
I don't know, but turn your mic up. Turn his mic up.
Turn my mic up. Yeah, I'm on. Yeah. I'm such a soft-spoken
person.
Wait
a minute. Oh, yeah. I don't know if they won or lost, but I do know they were, like, I just saw the band. I know the Cleveland Browns, things are as normal now.
Yes. Yeah, the world's not going to end.
No.
The Mayan calendar
says everything's back to balance now.
Yeah, because seriously, if you do research on the Mayan calendar,
yeah,
the Browns do win the Super Bowl of the year, everything ends.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But you know, we got time. So the Browns, you know, everything's back to normal. The Browns are the Browns, so they are who they are.
Mm-hmm. So is that a sure sign Jesus is coming back?
No, Jesus
Browns
is coming back.
Browns
no.
win a Super Bowl.
Well, that's who they have. That's their quarterback.
No,
Jesus.
No.
Oh yeah, most certainly. There ain't no way. Listen,
that's not true.
They need a miracle for their receivers to hold on to a ball.
The Steelers lost too, didn't they?
No,
they
beat the Ravens as.
Oh, then all things are good.
That's why Jeff's not here.
Well, yeah, that is true.
Because both his teams lost.
He didn't tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised, but Jesus has nothing to do with football.
Then it must be Moses because they got to part something to get into the end zone.
No.
You obviously haven't been around Catholic high schools very much, have you?
What does Catholic high school have to do with Jesus
and
football?
You know, if it wasn't for the Hail Mary, the Steelers would have never won the first
right.
Super Bowl.
Excuse me? Well, what's Hail Mary got to do with Jesus?
It was a miracle.
That was Jesus
and Mary,
his mom.
And your point is?
Jesus has to be the quarterback in order for the Browns to win the Super Bowl. That's the only way it's going to happen.
You guys are almost sacrilegious.
No, we believe God's got a sense of humor.
He does. It's called the Cleveland Browns.
I'm going to talk to Diva. Hi, Diva.
She'll agree with me on this subject.
How you doing, Diva?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, first I have to say it takes a Steeler win for Ben to be so funny. I never knew. I've been cracking up.
Thank you, Diva.
The Ohio State Buckeyes won 34-24.
But
so we are now 7-0.
Thank you.
But
thank
the
you,
halftime show.
Oh, yes, the halftime show was amazing. I had to tease my friend who is a fan of that team up north.
And I'd say Milton Ruffin from Youngstown, Ohio, he led the choir that came out and sang Man in the Mirror. I have to tell you, it was a home run On the football field.
So the band was a choir,
too? The band did the moonwalk.
Band. Yeah, the band did, they did a literal pictorial.
They did a moonwalk.
Moonwalk.
It's on Facebook. You can find it anywhere. Unbelievable. I was so proud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Ohio State. You have to understand. We are innovative. We are there. We should do the halftime show for the Super Bowl. At least something from Ohio will go.
This is true, and on top of that, you won't have a wardrobe malfunction.
Right. That is true.
Yeah. So I'm all for that.
I think that would be good. And they can have, let me see, they can do the Ohio State band, and for the feature, I'd like to see.
The Ohio players.
Oh, wow. That would be a great show.
Yeah.
Ohio players, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Do all Ohio,
Ohio bands.
Michael Stanley band. We'll get the Michael Stanley band.
Are they from Ohio?
Yeah.
Do all bands from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to have a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame halftime.
Ooh, yeah.
Because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in Cleveland, although it's trying to get out, too.
They can't get out.
It's trying.
They can't get out.
I'm not kidding. There's actually a move to move it to either Los Angeles or New York.
They've always wanted to be there.
Well, that's...
politics. No,
yeah,
they're not
is.
Moving it. We're here. We're here to stay.
So how do you think an outdoor Super Bowl is going to work out in New York City?
Who's going to do that?
The NFL.
When?
This year?
This year.
It's going to be...
Are you kidding me?
No, it's Giant Stadium.
Yeah, they're going to try cold weather.
Slow down. Mm-hmm. What would possess them to take all these teams, even that would play in warm weather, cold weather, play in warm weather because they play domed, that no matter who wins, they're going to go play outside in New York?
Well, it gives
in the
teams like the Buffalo Bills, New York Jets, and New York Giants. And
revenue?
Well, not just that. I mean, they build their team around, November, December football when it gets cold. They, in which other like Tampa Bay and Miami, they're looking at building their warm weather team because they're faster, quicker, more of a pitch and catch sort of a offense instead of a run the ball offense.
Okay.
So it sort of makes it a little bit even now. You know what I mean? It's they should have it. Every city should have an opportunity to have a Super Bowl.
Okay, I'm with the opportunity. Then Cleveland should have a Super Bowl. But help,
yeah, they should.
But listen to what I'm saying. Can you say cold weather
January? Can you imagine a Super Bowl in Green Bay?
I can. I think that'd be wonderful especially for the people, the area. Why should warm city
build a dome?
But is it warm weather or is it dome?
It's dome.
Well, even so, whether it's dome or not, I think every city should have the opportunity to have an economic windfall from a Super Bowl.
You don't even sit out in the sun in the summertime. You don't even have a tan. Do you know how cold it is?
Yeah, because I go see games in Cleveland. Especially, like when the Steelers are
how cold it is in January?
Yes,
on
I do.
The East Coast?
Yes, I do. I've been there.
That's crazy.
Yes, but it's
unless you got box seats.
It's fun. Now, listen, don't you think Cincinnati, Cincinnati may even be in the Super Bowl this year.
That's why Pittsburgh's losing.
No, but Cincinnati and Pittsburgh and Cleveland, it would be nice to have the Super Bowl played in those cities. I mean, the economic windfall.
Maybe we need to change it so it's like baseball, and they flip a coin. The two teams that are going, they flip a coin and have it in one of the cities.
No, that's not how they do that. No, they don't. They go in both cities.
I know they do, but it's a series. But in the Super Bowl, you got one game, so you've got two teams.
And that's more political.
Flip a coin.
Yeah.
Actually, no, they need to have a lottery.
No, but I'll tell you why that wouldn't work, because the logistics, it takes too long to organize a Super Bowl more than 2 weeks. So it has to be determined before then.
But...
Super Bowl played in Ohio or Pittsburgh, but it's too cold in January.
They can take it to New York, they can take it to Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
But hold on, Pittsburgh Stadium, how many people are seated in Pittsburgh Stadium?
Oh, they can hold quite a bit there.
75,000 or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure they can expand it and get another 2,000 or 3,000 in there.
Did the Colts win yesterday or did –
No, the Colts beat Peyton Manning and the Broncos yesterday.
Did they really?
Yes, they did. It was a good game.
It was a late game.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing marathon, but it was an all-night game. It's past 11:30 when they came off.
I don't know what time they got done, but
it was late. It was, I'm just checking, you know. I'm not a big football fan, you know. Tomlinson, I like, you know, the Steelers are still cute.
Yeah, they played a good game. I've got to give them credit. I didn't think they were going to beat
the
Ravens. I don't know. I still don't think they've got all the pieces. I think it's a young team again, especially the offensive line. And, I mean, they've had such bad luck with the offensive line. They just brought somebody else in, and they got injured, and they're on the injured reserve for the full season now. They never played a game, not one snap. So, I mean, it's going to be tough for them.
I got to go change the subject. What have you guys been up to?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I've been working my little tail off. Came to terms on a house and trying to get finance now, and that's all fun because
just pay cash.
Well, I wish I had the cash.
You have the cash?
No, I don't.
Isn't Dodd Frank great?
Yeah.
Why don't you loan it to him?
I don't loan money to friends because I want them to be friends forever.
That's right. Just
well, ask Diva because she's got the money.
Oh, I'm sure.
But that's what I'm sorry, the liberals don't give out.
That's right. They don't. Only the Republicans give money. No, honestly, I mean, all the rules and regulations have changed. In fact, banks don't give loans out for houses.
I'm trying to keep it light.
You
go.
No, I'm just telling
you.
Wait. Didn't you ask me what I was up to?
Okay.
Everything has to be HUD approved now. The guidelines that were set up by the government, which is a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
I think it's a lousy thing.
It's a good thing. Everything's good.
I think it's a lousy thing.
I mean, it's just
why should the government be able to tell a bank how many residential mortgages I'm allowed to have? If I'm a good credit risk, I pay my bills on time, why can't I have 150 or 200?
Because you might overextend.
Because it's 2008. How many of those people felt like you and thought like you and ended up
No, they gave out bad loans.
No, Diva. Yeah, that's the thing.
They gave out
loans to people that didn't
deserve like
they
could take on those loans and who had a mindset like sticks. How many flippers ended up in that bubble?
If the balance sheet works, that's the problem with 2008. The balance sheet didn't work. You had people making minimum wage getting $300,000 houses.
Where you had people making minimum wage $300,000 houses? Where? It didn't work.
That was a lot of fraud.
Let me tell you what's going on now, though. Okay, I was making a house payment of $1,300 plus a month. Okay, downsized, putting a huge sum of cash down to where I don't even have to pay now. I'll pay under $500, maybe even under $400 a month now.
Okay.
And yet they will not approve me without going through hoops and things, two-year business returns,
You got to validate everything.
Everything. Even though it's the same bank I was at before, and they know for the last 10 years I was paying $1,300 plus a month.
I tell you what bothers me, and this bothers me to no end. You have a partnership with the bank for 30 years.
Yeah, private banking.
And never be late.
Mm-hmm.
Never miss a payment, never be late. But when you run on a hard time, whether it be sickness, whether it be illness, whether it be anything, instead of them working with you as they could and should, they roll you over with a steamboat.
Yeah, well, Second National, who's no longer around because they sold out twice over now, when I was with them, if you had over $1 million in assets, you became part of their private banking corp. Which I don't know. You get
all most local banks have that kind of a
right.
A situation. Yeah.
Right. And you know, even though you know you're part of that private banking thing, and it you know carries over to the new banks, it still doesn't make a difference how much money. If I was borrowing $1 on that house, paying all but $1, I still would have to have the same approval.
Well,
it's because you're white.
But the thing is, you can go down to Donnell's down here and walk in and walk out with a $55,000 pickup truck and just sign your name.
Right.
Now, that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
I don't understand how you can pay off a $50,000 pickup truck in 5 years, but you can't pay a $50,000 house off in 3 years.
3 years, yeah. It doesn't make sense to me.
Now, that doesn't make sense to me. I'm confused by that. And if anybody wants to explain that to me, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because people take the low payment. A $55,000 truck note is going to be $2,000 a month.
somewhere around there. Well, you put some money down.
$55,000 house note's about $275 a month on a 30-year note.
But just the gist of it. I mean, you can even.
But you can take out a three-year house. But you can take out a three-year house note if you want to.
I don't think you can.
Yes, you can.
I don't think you can.
Yes, you can.
Both.
I know you can
take out a five. It's on the bank or the mortgage company you go to. Because not most banks will do
most
less.
Most of them don't let you take out home loans.
No,
that.
No,
oh, yeah.
Actually, you can take it out for as many months as you choose.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Far,
for
that, I've
for
never,
now,
up to,
no.
up to
oh, yeah.
30 years.
Up to where?
At least.
Up to 30 years.
I think they have 40-year mortgages now.
Well, that's on.
Jumbo.
Yeah, like corporate.
$1 million property.
Yeah, on bigger properties, but on private homes.
But as far as the small banks, the local banks, you could always borrow as few years as you wanted on a house. They'd write a 3-year house note.
But the big banks don't do it. And how many small banks do you have? You got three.
Well, the big banks are eating them.
Here's the thing.
Because of Dodd-Frank, the big banks are bigger now than they were when 2008 collapsed.
That's because they need the money.
Thanks, Don. The government. But anyhow, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a 1, 2, 3, or 5 year. They'll give you your 5-year rate will be up to 5 years.
Okay.
You don't get a better rate if you do it for 3 years. You're just paying it off quicker.
Right. You can pay it off. You can pay off for quicker.
Which means you'll
going
you'll,
into a loan because look, most of your cars
you'll
are 5-year loan.
Same rate, but you'll be paying less.
The 60 months.
You can get an 8-year loan now if you want one.
A car?
Yep.
Oh yeah, they've got those for.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it?
Well, I guarantee
75 months. I think it is.
75 months.
Yeah, I've seen a 75 month.
I think you can get 96 months.
I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. It's open mic today. The number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can do that. The number is 330-781-9600. I'll come back. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about. I'm trying to keep them light and keep them slowed down. But no, they want to jump in the deep part of the pool already. And it's cold outside. And we need to walk gingerly because it's going to snow pretty soon.
Right.
We'll be right back.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Jennifer Keegan with your headline news. The owner of a Warren Township car wash is hoping surveillance video will help catch two men who broke into his business yesterday. He says two men dressed in blue clothes hit up his Viking car wash on West Market. They used a crowbar to open the office door and stole $800 worth of quarters. The owner says this is the third time his business has been robbed. Youngstown police detectives have arrested a man in the stabbing death of 30-year-old Kalina Lynn Carpenter. 51-year-old David Hackett of Youngstown is charged with aggravated murder. Carpenter's body was found Monday in a vacant lot near the Youngstown Water Department. She was stabbed several times. Hackett, according to police, is an acquaintance of Carpenter's, but officials haven't released a motive yet for the crime. And in Warren, Lewis Mann was found guilty of killing his mother and father 2 years ago at their Jefferson Street home. Mann now faces the death penalty. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Hey, Dad, how's it going?
I'm okay. I'm still a little sore.
You're lucky you didn't break something with that fall you took.
I'll be fine. Just need to watch where I'm going.
Dad, I wanted to talk to you about something that's been on my mind.
What's that, son?
Just hear me out. What do you think about moving to...
Not that retirement community thing again.
I went online and found out about Copeland Oaks. It's close by and looks like a great place.
No, not for me.
But, Dad, with Mom gone and you home by yourself, I just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm fine. I'm not ready for a nursing home.
Dad, it's not a nursing home. It's a retirement community with younger, active people just like you. It's not like it used to be. They have really nice apartments, even real homes in a neighborhood, plenty of activities, good food, and they've been around for a long time.
I don't know.
You can still do everything you normally do, only you have people around who can help if you need it.
Well, maybe.
You know, they've even got a stocked pond.
Now that's the best thing I've heard yet.
Call 1-800-222-4640 or go to CopelandOaks.com. Copeland Oaks, a faith-based retirement community. People of all faiths welcome.
Lately, it seems there's been a lot of back-to-school talk. How about you? Thinking of going to college or back to college? Wondering how you can afford it? Check out Kent State University's Columbiana County campuses. We offer 27 degree programs in high-demand fields such as nursing, business, criminal justice, occupational, and physical therapy. Take classes online or on campus in East Liverpool or Salem. We're close to where you work, close to where you live. And we have reduced tuition for West Virginia students in the Northern Panhandle. Call 1-877-KENT-EDU to find out more. You belong here.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and this is the Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I miss Michael Jackson. Jeez, old man. Why do we treat people better when they're dead than they were doing when they were alive?
Do you miss his music, or do you miss his...
I miss him.
Yeah.
What, his exploits?
Well, his exploits. They weren't
his. I
mean,
the media circus around him sort of created a monster, but...
Yeah. I mean, you got to blame sometimes for the people who they are. But sometimes you have to have compassion on the whole situation at large.
Well, yeah, I agree.
I mean,
from what I understand, he was never allowed to be a child, so when he...
Never allowed? There was no such thing.
And when he got out from underneath the thumb, he wanted to be a child.
And, well, not even so much wanted to be a child. You know, it's a process for all of us to grow up. The problem is we don't realize that, you know, we take things for granted through our growth process.
Don't look at me. I haven't grown up yet.
they claim that people who substance abuse, they stop maturing at the age that they first begin substance abuse.
It's not even so much. It's more than that. I mean, I don't think we really understand. I don't know how we would handle being famous. 7, 8, 9 years old, where
well,
you can't go to the...
being famous, I don't know how you'd handle a parent that would beat you down.
Well, I don't know. I'm not quite sure.
And all the kids tell you that.
I'm not quite sure if he got beat down.
No, he got beat down.
I understand.
It's just that...
what the TV said, but see, my mother abused me.
My father abused me.
Hey, listen, I agree with your mom. You deserve it.
Absolutely.
Well, Michael was very...
A couple more
you know, I did too, and I thank my parents for it.
That's what I mean. So, you know, and today, if you look at what went on then and what goes on today, I mean, We got spankings, but this thing's...
We got the belt. We got the paddle.
Go get me something to hit you with, boy.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Michael was an overly sensitive child anyway, so I think even if his father was just trying to instill some discipline in him and trying to strive him to be, you know, teach him to be better, he might have took that as, no, you're just beating on me. You're just being abusive.
If it wasn't for his discipline, if it wasn't for Joe Jackson's discipline, I believe
they would never be there where they are.
Yeah, they wouldn't be. We wouldn't even know them.
And Michael, I mean, at that time, you know, it's not like people really paid attention to child. All children were raised the same way. For the most part, they didn't like stop and raise one child one way, and another child another way.
Well, you know what? He was the youngest, and he was the
he wasn't the youngest.
He was the money maker.
He wasn't the youngest.
Well, he was the meal ticket.
He was the youngest in the group.
He was the youngest in the group.
While they were when they first started out, as far as being in the band, he was the youngest. And Michael did have a little bit of a rebellious nature in him. Joe wanted them to practice. Michael wanted to play. And Michael can be a little stubborn, and he got his butt whooped behind it. And because he was sensitive, he couldn't, and being so young, he couldn't understand that, okay, this is about business versus, okay, I just want to be a kid and go outside and play.
But it's bigger than that. I mean, if you really look at the time that he was raised, I mean, he was raised in a different time altogether than what we talk about today.
Abuse is
abuse.
I mean, and then it can be. It's,
is
it's
it abuse? I mean, Diva, were you abused?
I'm sorry.
I mean, because the days. I mean, in today's society, how our parents raised us, that would be considered almost abusive. Because today, children have no discipline at all.
And some people do see that they were abused. It's subjective to what the person feels. Because my daughter, when I whoop her, discipline her, well, I don't have to whoop her anymore, but she could have felt that was abusive, even though I may not. My mother didn't think she was. I felt like she was.
Do not say you hit your child because they can come and get you.
Well, you're allowed, corporal punishment is still allowed then. They just don't let you do it.
Well,
I wish they would, because I was like, you know what, you could take her then and you can raise her, because if I can't hit her, if I can't discipline her how I want, I'm not dealing with it.
Well, you sound like a conservative now.
Yeah,
that's conservative.
Something
thinking.
A conservative parent would say.
Yes.
No, that's what a real parent would say, whether you're left, right, Democrat, or Republican. A real parent.
Oh, no. Dr. Spock was a Democrat.
Well, did Dr. Spock even have kids?
Dr. Spock was crazy. That was nuts.
No, yeah, let your kids do whatever they want.
That's what's wrong today. I mean, that's why they're nutty as a fruitcake. I was talking to a young lady the other day, and I was trying to talk to her daughter about a job. And when I got done, I was like, I can't recommend you for a job because if you have that kind of attitude and I'm trying to help you get a job.
I mean, my sister and my cousin make me feel like I was just horrible. I was, I was the worst mother on earth because how they discipline is completely different how I discipline. Especially when my daughter was younger, I felt if you get them as young as you can, spank that bottom, teach them discipline, you won't have any trouble as they get older. Which I don't now, but I'm like, man, my cousin lets her little girl cry and act out in public, and my sister loves her to do the same, and stop that spanking, sit down, don't move, don't touch anything, don't ask for anything. They made me, I was like, wow, that was mean.
I think every child should be dealt with differently based upon that child.
Right. Right,
but I'm saying in that era of time, parents didn't really think about how each child should be disciplined. Because I hear stories about people that had multiple children. If one got caught, they all got spankings.
Yeah, my dad was like that. My dad was like that. If no one fessed up, my dad, we all got it.
Everybody got it. I mean, it was
me being the liberal leftist. You usually feel bad and take the punishment for everybody, even if I didn't do it. That's just
I ain't taking a whipping for nobody.
Listen, you believe that from Diva?
I did. My dad will tell you. My dad will tell. And then he realized what I was doing, and then he stopped.
You believe that?
Because that's how I am.
Do you believe that? That she would, because of her liberal leftist attitude that she took the beating for everybody. Does that sound like that? Liberals don't take a beating for anyone.
Really, that's
they
true.
Just
they
act as though they get
just,
one, but they don't
yeah,
take
they,
one for
they,
anyone. Where I don't know what
wait,
where
wait.
She thought she we where
they
we grew up.
They redistribute the beating.
No, they wait a minute. They actually point the finger and hide their hand and make somebody else and not take responsibility for it.
Hmm. When whoever did it step forward, they all step backwards, leave you hanging out to dry.
It's in the chat room. You can still spank your kids.
No, you know what it is? Liberals will make sure that Republicans get to blame more George Bush.
George Bush.
So if your kid did something wrong, you're
Bush
liberal.
Did it.
Bush made him do it.
Bush did it.
Bush made him do it.
Bush did it.
I finally found one thing I agree with Jesse on. Jesse Jackson. Stay out the bushes. This next election, just stay out the bushes. Leave Jeb home.
I agree, too.
Why?
You guys wouldn't take a whooping for someone else?
No. Absolutely not.
If there was a group of you guys and you knew that the person who did it wouldn't step up and then everybody else who's innocent was going to get it, you wouldn't step up and say, you know, I'm just going to take it so the innocent ones won't get hurt?
I'd turn him in a heartbeat.
Diva, can I tell you a story?
Yes.
I'm not getting a beating for nobody. Listen, I used to tell them in school because when I was going to school, it was pulling the fire alarm.
Well, you know what?
Was a good prank.
Yeah.
I told them.
Don't do it.
Don't let me know. Because if they ask me, I'm telling them.
Yeah.
I'm not taking the heat for nobody. Oh no.
Wait. You're a Christian, right, Diva?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then breaking the Ten Commandments is what you're doing.
You're
bearing false witness by taking the blame for something you didn't do. Okay, so if you're a Christian,
how are you gonna biblicize that like that?
Wow.
Just like that. Is it not bearing false witness?
Wow.
Is it not? And you know what? You're not doing the person that actually did it a favor.
The
person that actually
did
it.
Do you see him politicizing this?
Oh yes, most definitely.
He's putting witness in the Bible.
Yes, I am.
Well,
yes,
Jesus
am.
Took the blame for something he didn't do.
Yes, he did.
Well, actually.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and you're not Jesus. Neither am I.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. You're supposed
to
be Christ.
But we are under his teachings. We are to follow his principles. We are to be like Christ.
We're to be Christ-like, are we not?
And his father told us, do not bear false witness.
No. But that's not false witness.
I disagree.
If I say that I didn't do it, I'll take the punishment for them instead of them.
That's what he did.
That's what Christ did.
But that's not what Diva's saying. Diva's saying I did it. So
right.
Me.
No,
that's
I didn't.
Different.
Well, I didn't say I did or didn't. I just said I'll just take it for the team.
I'm not taking a beating for anybody.
Me neither.
And as a matter of fact, the last person to beat me was my mama. So the next one's gonna get all payback for every beating I've ever gotten.
Well, I guess because my dad only whooped with a belt, or he had disciplined us by making us stand in corners for training wheels or running some laps or something. So to me, that wasn't that harsh.
In some states,
hey, Matt,
you
your
use
mic's
anything
on.
But your hand, it's abuse, considered abuse.
Well, a slap on the face is not what you would call a nice tap on the butt with a fly swatter.
Well, I know, but if you use a paddle or a belt, it's I think in some states it's actually illegal to do that. It's considered abuse.
409, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, it's formerly homeschool dad.
Hey, formerly homeschool dad who has his kids back in school now. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I just wanted to say something real quick. Diva was saying how you know, are supposed to follow Christ's teaching, and he had taken the blame for something that he didn't. Well, I can't say it's completely true because God says that vengeance is such a high and holy thing that he's the only one who's allowed to dish it out. We're not supposed to follow that example. So there are certain things that only God can do that we're not allowed to follow his example on.
So when I take vengeance on somebody, it's I'm doing God's work?
What's wrong with them people, Tracy? We're watching a video on Tracy's computer. Kids beating the snot out of each other.
Yeah.
And they're taping it. And they're trying to break it up, and they're getting caught up in the fight. I'm sorry, we're changing this. See, that's, those kids
need to be beat.
Since we're talking about kids.
They're beating each other. They need to be beat.
Those kids need their butt whipped.
That's girls. Those girls fight.
Okay.
There's a guy in there with a hat on.
No, he
he's in the middle
up.
Trying to break him up. But that's all girls fight.
I better not do that because I don't know what they're
Tracy,
saying.
Tracy, you mean to tell me you didn't get into any scraps like that when you were a kid?
I got into fights, but I ain't never. Listen, I don't fight with more than one person.
And oh, not
all
man.
This is a group fight. This is a group thing. I don't fight in groups. I'm not dumb.
Wait.
I run.
The girl there's in crutches. Did you see that?
Yeah, she beating her with a crutch.
She's got a cast on. She must have lost the last fight.
I got into it. I've been there, done that.
I was smart enough to. I never put myself in a corner where there was going to be more than one. I'm not fighting more than one person at a time. No, no, no. And I didn't have brothers and sisters to back me up.
Well, I had two sisters, and I had about 15 girl cousins. So you fought one of us, you fought all of us.
I didn't have that kind of backup. And I'm smarter than a fifth grader. I'm not getting cut up, hurt, no. You know I'm allergic to pain, right?
No, but thanks for letting us know.
I have major allergies when it comes to pain. It's not good for my health. Discomfort, as a matter of fact. That's why I can't go to jail. It's not comfortable.
Well, how do you expect to be a politician in this county?
I'm not a politician. I'm a public servant.
Well, that's right. You have to go to jail, I think, is a prerequisite.
No, I don't go to jail. Can't do that.
Or have to be indicted or something.
Can't do that either. That's not good.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah, you
I meant to say this at the beginning. My daughter turned 13 yesterday. So yesterday was her 13th birthday. So I'm the mother of a teenager, as she likes to tell me all the time. I'm no longer a baby, Mom. I'm a teenager. And I need
to
be treated as such.
It's awful, Diva. I'm telling you, it's awful.
Does she have a full-time job yet?
I went through it twice. It's awful.
I tried to have her come sit on my lap so I could give her a hug. And I said, you know, can I get a kiss? What happened to those days? She doesn't want to – I never thought – the day would come where she didn't want to give me hugs or kisses. Now it's like, Mom, I'm over that. I'm older now, and literally broke my heart. But
you know what? You know what, Diva? They say that kids will do that around that age, 13, 14 years old, and they don't respect you nor think that you know anything until they hit about 24 or 25. So it's a good 10-year stint of that.
Absolutely. It's amazing.
That's about
father,
right.
Well, it's amazing what my father learned between the time I was 18 and 20 and 25. I mean, he got all kinds of wisdom.
But that's about right. I mean, if you think about it. I mean, did you want your dad to be hugging and kissing on you when you were 13?
No.
I did.
But that's father-daughter stuff. See, fathers and daughters and mothers and sons are different. They have a different relationship than mothers and daughters. And
but mothers and daughters usually go to
work. Because my daughter will give me a hug, like in an airport or something. She runs to me first. And our son will run to his mother first. And it's just the relationship that tends to grow.
Okay. But your daughter is definitely the daddy's baby.
Oh, absolutely. Well, not anymore. She's got a husband now.
It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, it does.
How?
Cost him a lot less.
No. I mean, I like to think I've done this well. She calls me for advice. I say you need to talk to your husband.
Okay, that's pretty good.
And if you want advice from me, I want both of you on the phone at the same time. I'm doing everything I can. They've only been married a little over a month, and I do everything I can not to usurp his authority. I had a very good friend one time. His daughter came home shortly after she got married, and she had all her stuff in the car, and she was crying. She was leaving. He says, what are you doing? She says, I'm moving home. And he says, well, what did he do? Did he hit you? Because if he hit you, I'll have to go kill him. If he didn't hit you, turn your car around, go back to your husband where you belong.
Now, can I ask you this? When is it okay? It's open mic. The number is 347-945-5229. When's it okay? Because sometimes men don't realize that they can be very, very cruel just by their attitudes and their words.
You're talking about psychological abuse.
I mean, just mean.
And women can't be?
Yeah, women.
No, that's their very nature.
Ben?
I was married to one of them once, trust me.
Ben, she was, no, Ben.
Yes.
No.
I mean, I got witnesses.
No.
Oh, yes.
You were in love. Nah. If not, you were a big liar.
Yeah, well, I was, but I quickly got to know her and fell out of it. Yeah.
No, but I'm serious. I mean, because you know, men can be abusive mentally.
Goes both ways.
No, women are never.
Nah.
Oh, I don't know. I've seen an awful lot of women that can emasculate their husband in 1.2 seconds.
Men are talking about Michelle Obama.
Why would you say that about Michelle Obama?
Oh, because she definitely wears the pants in that family.
How do you know that?
Because you can tell.
How can you tell?
Just by her demeanor.
You cannot tell that.
I mean, the way she looks at him.
Because Barack wears skinny jeans.
You don't know that.
There ain't a man that ain't whipped that would wear a pair of pants look like that in public.
What pants?
His skinny jeans.
His skinny jeans, his girly jeans.
He does wear, like, little
rides a girl's bicycle, for heaven's
jeans.
Sakes.
Last time he wore jeans, he got ridiculed for wearing dad jeans on a baseball field. He doesn't wear jeans.
Those were mom jeans.
No, those were dad.
They weren't boots.
He wears slacks.
Sure.
He does not wear jeans, and he does because he doesn't wear them well.
So does he ride a girl's bike?
When did you see him ride a girl's bike?
When he was on vacation.
He was riding
a girl's bike. He was riding a nerd's bike. All nerds ride those types of bikes.
Nerd's bike. Well, I'm glad
he's
a nerd.
Hey,
yeah.
Where
have you been?
Diva, I resent that.
Also,
hey,
you ride that bike too, because you know what
bike.
I'm talking about. You know
I
what
ride
I'm talking about.
No. He has a pocket.
But listen.
Hold up, Diva. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Listen, I had to go to a training to become a certified professional of occupancy, the class given by HUD. It lasted 3 days, okay? 3 whole days. And then we had a test that was 4 hours long. So I am done with that.
What does that have to do with women being mean?
Well, women, listen, Tracy, I have 4 older sisters and 4 daughters. I know how it can be. And you're right, Matt, you're right. At the age of 13, that gene that all women have seems to kick in, and they know everything, and you can't tell them anything, and that there's a certain chick that get in their neck, and they lose all control of their eyes when you talk to them, start rolling their eyes, and all the rest of the stuff, and think the world's going to come to an end because they don't have the right color jeans on. Trust me.
It's called estrogen.
And you guys don't think testosterone shows up?
Yes.
Tracy, was you like that at 13 with your mother?
Listen, I'm still trying to learn how. I'm trying to learn how to roll my eyes and snap my neck and slam a door. I'm really trying to work on that.
I was not like that with my mother.
Sweet. I can't see her being like that.
Huh?
I don't think your mother ever did anything to you. She is so sweet.
You know the movie Carrie came out last weekend, right?
Yeah, the movie Carrie.
Yeah. That's about multiple personalities, right?
I see why.
I'm not
going to
say anything just in case, but I'm just saying. I mean, I met your mom.
She is a nice lady, isn't
she?
She
is so sweet.
She is absolutely wonderful.
She doesn't look like she would harm a fly.
She would never.
Oh, no. I met your mom, and she is nice, very sweet, but I bet you if Tracy got out of line, she wouldn't be quick to, she'd be quick to whip
look,
her back in line.
This
look,
is what she
everybody,
said, Diva. She said,
fool you.
This hurts me more than it hurts you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was the worst line. Really?
Like, let me help you out.
Listen, all moms are sweet as long as they're not in mom mode. Once they go into that mom mode,
it's
like
over.
They transform into the Incredible
Hulk.
Hey, listen.
What's the other gentleman's name in the studio? I heard him say like something that was so profound. I really think that the gentleman whose daughter is married now or just got
that's
married.
That's six.
Oh, six, man. I take my hat off to you. I applaud you. What you said about your daughter and her husband being married and how you attempt to counsel them and talk to them, hey, that's beautiful, man, because I don't think a lot of parents get that when their children, especially fathers and daughters, I don't think they get that when they get married, I think they still feel like they have to file the father card and they have to throw it out when they want to. And what you said was beautiful, man.
And you're right, because very, very few parents, period.
I don't think there's a mother-in-law on the planet that doesn't think that. There is not a mother-in-law on the planet that agrees with sticks.
And I don't think that's good. I think parents should get out the way of
more
so than they actually do.
They have to, because mothers get in the way of their sons' relationships. Fathers have a very sneaky way of getting into their daughters' relationships. And you gotta they gotta understand. Let the kids be married and grow up and figure out what marriage is, good, bad, and indifferent. Let them figure it out. That's the only way they're gonna make it.
There comes a point in time
where a father has to check his son-in-law if he's going to ride.
That goes into that. If he hits you, I'll just have to kill him.
But that's something different. But see, there's another thing. If I actually, you know, there are a lot of people parents who give out too much advice.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually instead of living with your wife, you live with your mother. Or they live with their sisters or their girlfriends.
One of my favorite Everybody Loves Raymond episodes is the one where they're trying to figure out how to live. You know where to live? Did you see that one? The red zone? They got the map of the New York area up, and they figured, well, this one here is too close to mom and dad because they can come anytime they want. This one's just right, and this one's far enough it means an overnight visit. You know,
it's good to have parents close and have them, but they can't be inside of your business all the time.
Especially when
you're married.
I think there's a difference between having a strong support system and now you're just overly invasive in our relationship. There's a difference.
If you want to end your marriage, all you got to do is build a mother-in-law suite.
Not always.
That's the best way to end your marriage.
Because some mother-in-laws and some parents get it.
It depends where you're at in your relationship. I mean, but I will tell you this. I mean, we bought a piece of land from my parents, and we lived 700 feet down the street. And the best thing I did for my marriage was when I sold that piece of property and moved 45 minutes away.
Well, that's because of your parents. But I'm saying, there are some parents that they have a very, very good relationship with their children and their in-laws. You know, they do. They have a wonderful relationship, and they live close by.
I have a great relationship with mine. I never see them.
No. But it's when parents become too invasive. I mean, you have parents that almost they can live an hour away and just be on the phone and be in your marriage.
Yeah, that's true too. I mean, my dad said something to me the other day about when you moved out, you didn't call me every day, because I mentioned my daughter still calls me every day on her way home from work. And I said, yeah, but those were the days before we had unlimited free long distance.
but the question is, how would you feel about that?
That was a good excuse.
I mean, that's not because – but you guys are just having a conversation.
She calls me and vents her work day on me before she vents it on her husband, I think.
She's still daddy's little girl.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with being daddy's
little girl. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Because relationships are always going to be, mommy is always going to be mommy, daddy's always going to be daddy. But at the end of the day, when your son says I do to that woman or daughter says I do to that man, you have to know the relationship is going to change. That's just the bottom line.
Well, I want to
tell
you something.
Can I handle it?
I can agree with mommy's going to be mommy's and daddy's going to be daddy's, except in New Jersey, where they want daddy to be daddy and daddy to be daddy now.
South Carolina, you always got to bring something else up in. Where have you been? I've missed you. You know, you've been quiet. You've been out the way.
Extremely busy. I had that training. I had Toys for Tots come up. The election's going on. It's just been crazy. Absolutely.
How's your campaign going?
Campaign's going good. I still got to get that stuff from you, though, but we already talked about that.
Oh, yeah,
but,
get it to me.
I found out that my opponent's been going around telling everybody I'm a Republican, but that's okay, and that they need to vote straight Democrat for the election. However, in the state of South Carolina, municipal elections in certain towns, which I happen to be in one of them, are nonpartisan. Well, I'm not going to. Well, you know, it's crazy. That's not me ringing. I'm not calling anybody.
Hey, Alabama, your mic is on, too. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Hey, I'm going to take a break in a few minutes, so I'm trying to keep this light until at least the top of the hour. Then I guess we'll just dip into the weekend and what's going on.
I got something I want to throw in the mix about this dating situation, this marriage thing. I'm not married, but I hate to hear when a father tells his daughter, if a man can't provide for you what I can, then you don't need to be with him, because you may have worked 30 years at a factory and retired, you know, did 20 years in the military and got all this money coming in, but then you expect a 25-year-old guy to come in and provide that same. It's unfair, because when you were 25, you couldn't do what you could do at 55. So
I hate to hear that, and there's
a lot of fathers that say that.
Hold on, man. This is the issue. Let's be real about this. There's a lot of brothers out there today. I don't care if you come in the house and you don't have as much as my daddy, but you don't want as much as my daddy. And so I'm going to work every day and you sitting at home playing Nintendo.
Yeah.
Well, see, the problem, hold on. I'm glad you said that, but the thing for a father to do is to teach his daughter how to discern and separate a guy who is ambitious and on his way from a guy who's lazy and doesn't want something out of life. See, a lot of women say, you know what, I'm going to wait till you get that money, then come talk to me. Then they wonder why you want to hop the plane and go overseas and find you somebody. And why 70% of a lot of sisters are single, because they got this microwave, you know, fair weather, you know, when you got it, I'll be there for you mentality. You can't be like that.
Yeah, but you got to realize a lot of brothers want a sister to take care of them. They want a woman to take care of them. They don't want someone who's going to work with them.
They don't want to help
them.
They want a mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say you're talking about a small percentage. Most brothers aren't like that. Most brothers, I want a woman to take care of me. There are some, but most brothers ain't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm with Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
You got two sisters on the phone. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Y'all going to see, the thing is, that's the thing. It's like there's a narrative that's been fed to people, and then there's the truth. And somewhere in the middle is the truth. I feel like it's
hard to say it's being fed when you can see it with your own eyes.
Men don't want to be men.
I have a friend, great friend. We started out as friends. At first, it was a mutual attraction. We thought maybe we could date. But then I realized, wait a minute, this brother wants a female who's going to take care of him. Because when we would talk about the date, he would say certain things like, well, you know, I'm used to a female paying for my meal. And I'm like, well, you got me messed up, because I'm not that type of female. And as our friendship has progressed over the last decade, that's the only type of women he will date. And he's not the only guy I come across like that.
Okay, well, I'm saying, so you got one guy.
Yeah.
You got a few guys that think like that, but at the same time, let's not act like, okay, oh, let's say you're right. But what I'm saying is that most women, especially black women, because that's mostly what I date, that's 99% of what I date, most of them have this mentality like, what you going to do for me mentality. And it's sad. It really is, because I'm looking at it like, okay, I see what you got, this, you know, money, you know, real superficial mentality. What about character? What about all the other? That's not the thing. The prerequisite, they'll overlook a guy if he doesn't make a certain amount.
But if you get down to the bottom of that superficial mentality, you'll see that a lot of these women are damaged and hurt.
Listen, I'm going to take a break.
Covering.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSON. When I come back, I'm going to find out what Styx wants to say. Because Styx, I don't even know if you know what dating is. You've been married so long, you can't even find a dating room. We'll be right back. The number is, again, 347-945-5229. Styx and Ben and I are here in studio. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
From ABC's Alex Stone.
Steve.
Yes.
Every woman ain't hurt that's like, you got a lot of sisters out here that's okay. Yeah, they go to church. The Bible says a man's supposed to be a provider, you know, and they take that and run with it. So I'm because the thing is, there are no brakes on being selfish for a woman. A woman can be selfish, and nobody's going to check them. It's no problem with a woman being. It's okay. You're supposed to pay my light bill. You're supposed to pay for every meal we go. You're supposed to pay for this. You're supposed to pay for that. Women don't have nobody out here checking them for being selfish. But let a man be lazy.
Let a
guy be lazy. Oh, he's going to get talked about like a dog.
So a woman having certain standards about how she wants her dating life to go as far as a man picking up the check, that's considered selfish?
No, I'm not saying that's considered selfish. What I'm saying is I think it's a bit superficial if, for example, a guy makes $40,000 and he don't make enough. And I'm sitting like, okay, well, he's ambitious. They don't have the what I said when I first started was fathers need to teach their daughters to be discerning, to separate and sift quality from just foolishness. And I understand, but most women can't do that. They can't distinguish. And there are a lot of guys I know that get thrown into this category of being trifling or being whatever. Because a woman, a lot of them can't do that. They just think,
Problem, Alabama, because a lot of these women do not have fathers to tell them that. Because if a woman had a father in her life and he was taking care of her, yes, she's going to want her husband to emulate the characteristics of her father as how he, not necessarily my father is making 100 grand a year and my husband is only making 40 grand, but I want him to make 100 grand like my daddy. No, I want to be treated like my daddy, how my daddy did me. My dad took care of me. My dad provided security for me. I could trust my dad. You know what I'm saying? My dad was always there for me. I could talk to him. He was my best friend, my buddy. You know, women
that's not really difficult to find, like they make it out there. That's not what they're looking for. That's not what most divas. It's two things. You got what you're looking for, and you got what you have. And most of the time, you get what you are. These women, I'm telling you now, if you ask a woman, do you want a good, I want a nice, faithful guy. Well, tell me about your last boyfriend. He was a dog. How long did you talk to him? 8 years. So you don't want that then. That's not really what you want. That's not the truth.
People do want it, but sometimes you like to track what you are. And people need to also learn that there is a difference between sexual attraction or physical attraction and mutual attraction. Meaning, do you want someone who, because a lot of people say they want a good guy, but they're looking for a good guy in a certain package, or they're looking for a good woman in a certain package. Well, you have to figure out what you really want, because what you really want may not come in a package that you want. And that's why, because that person looks good, great on paper, but in reality, it's not a good match for them, and they call them a dog. Was that person really a dog?
Diva, the only thing I'm saying is, when it comes to women, and this is going to sound unfair, but it's the truth, women will defend their own ratchet behavior. If a woman does something wrong and you say something about that woman, other women are going to come to her defense. But when a guy doesn't take care of his child, or when a guy's beating a woman, we'll just say, yeah, when a guy's being a hoe, cheating on his woman, he'll admit, yeah, I did. A woman, it's a double standard for y'all when it comes to certain things. They don't want to be held accountable for their actions, especially women. When it comes to, like, look at these shows, like Evelyn, when that situation happened with her and Chad on that show, there were so many sisters trying to take up for Evelyn. And I was like, well, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So, you're jumping up in folks' face every 2 days.
Wait a minute, because a female, I hear this a lot, and I have gotten to this argument with a lot, both men and women. a person using their words does not equate to someone using physical force because they can't handle that person's words. So that's why a lot of people were coming to her defense. Yeah, she could be a total B, and she might have got on his nerves.
We weren't there. We weren't there, Diva. I'm not going to jump and defend her, and I'm not going to defend him either. I'm not going to defend her or him. That's their relationship. Yeah, he hit her. He headbutted her. But you know what? You're going to headbutt somebody if they're 6 inches from you. So, I mean, we don't know what really happened.
Well,
that's a defensive move. That's not a move. It ain't like he swung and busted in her face with his hand. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That's just an example. But I'm just saying, when it comes to being ratchet, women take up for each other. They do.
And do the same thing. I've seen it time and time
again. Dudes do not take up for – come on, man. If you want to call a guy out for doing something wrong –
y'all shoulder turn a blind eye or whatever. Y'all don't call your friends out on their ratchet behavior either. I've seen that time and time again.
I'm not talking about friends. I'm talking about it could be somebody, period, out on the street. And if a guy say, you know what, she's being a slut. She shouldn't be doing – men do it all the time. What's that big – come on, man. Come on.
I ain't going to be out there watching a dude in the club playing this chick, playing that chick and say, man, he being a whore. Y'all ain't going to do that.
Alabama.
What's up?
100% right. Diva, he's right. He's right. I've seen it too many times before.
And I've seen it too many times on the opposite side. So you're going to have your opinion about women.
Am I right? Do women, when it comes to holding women accountable, they don't get help. Nobody really, it's like they'll defend each other. They just come to each other's defense. But when it comes to a guy, man, you got guy. If a guy ain't going to raise his child, if a guy beating his woman, if a guy, come on, man. Come on. If society is already, what's the reputation anyway?
Right. Because women are harder on women than men are.
No, y'all just catty, not harder. Y'all just catty and just don't like each other because maybe I don't like the skirt she wearing today, so I don't like her. You know, that's how women are.
See, that's the thing. You're stereotyping, and you don't like when women stereotype men or make you're stereotyping.
You cannot take, look, I could take five men, and we can all come together. It can be folks I will argue with on this show. We can all meet up in person, and I bet you we can meet up and build something. But you take five women and put them in a room together, and you see it all the time on these little reality shows. They have men against guys. What happens? The guys always get along.
I take you don't watch The Real World. I take it you didn't watch Breaking Amish, whatever that show is. A lot of these shows, the men are just as bad as the females.
I mean, look, I'm not saying there aren't men that don't have feminine traits.
The biggest
whores
on the show, hold each other accountable or whatever, and doing egregious behavior on Jersey Shore. How that one dude was out there cheating on his girl? You think
I never watched that episode? I never watched that show. Never watched one episode. Never.
Okay, so here's the thing. You are making this generalization when I have seen it countless times where you're making this generalization. I've seen it on the other side. It's not just women. Men do the same thing. Maybe back in the day it was different, but now you got a lot of...
Diva, when a man can get called lazy way much more often in our society than a woman gets called selfish.
Hold on, guys. You were going to say something before we went to break.
Yeah, I think what Alabama was talking to, I think some of that depends in what circles you run in.
No, it ain't.
Because in some circles, the men are a lot more ambitious than other circles.
Yeah, right.
College circles?
No, not necessarily that. I mean, the young men that my daughter ran around with in high school, there was nothing for those guys to work 20 hours straight all weekend in high school. They'd get off work on Friday on Friday, and they wouldn't go home till Saturday evening.
Well, that's what I was too, but I was partying.
No, they're working.
No,
I don't. I, at my age, I don't know where you find them at. Do you have any? You know, do I go back to high school?
At your age, you
I know you
right.
probably at your age. I would go to an enterprise conference, like an entrepreneurial conference. Someone that you know, stuff people that are trying. That's what I would do if I was a female looking for it. That's what I would do.
I gotta go to an entrepreneurial conference.
Yeah, because people that spend money on their, they're investing in themselves off the top. That's the type of That's how I would think.
Okay, because they told me to go to. Somebody told me I need to go to Home Depot and Lowe's and hang out.
You know where I'm gonna go? Nursing
home. Stay away from Lowe's. Been there, done that. Stay away from Lowe's.
This is no kidding. My cousin's kid just got married to somebody they met on Christian Mingle.
I'm not doing the computer song. No.
Done that too. Watch. Be careful. Nope. Stay away.
No eHarmony. No Christian Mingle.
Work for everybody.
FarmersOnly.com.
No. Farmers Only.
Yeah, they got one. FarmersOnly.com.
Farmers? No. Oh, no. I don't need to be a farmer's wife.
Yeah, what's wrong with being single? It's
Christian
nice.
Speed dating, you might want to try that one. I tried that. Didn't work too well for me, but it might work for you.
Speed dating.
Who said what's wrong with being single? Who said what's wrong with being single?
No, I said there's nothing wrong with being single.
Who's the married guy that said that? Who's the married guy that said that?
No, I'm the single guy that said there's nothing wrong with being single. What's wrong with being
you know what?
I just became
single.
First I have no desire to be single.
That's
just way too much work.
I've been single for so long, I wouldn't know what married was.
I mean, I'm single. I mean, but when it comes to dating, I mean, I can understand why somebody would want to date. I mean.
Hey, you want kids?
Who?
You.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Can't work.
But you know what I'm going to do? This is what I'm going to do right here. Y'all going to see. Check us out now. In about 10-15 years, y'all going to be watching the NBA draft, and y'all going to see me on the side.
Because
I'm
going
to be the flew to Africa, and I'm going to be the doctor meet some of them seven-footers. I'm going to come back, and you're going to be like, "What is that? Ain't that the guy?"
No, you're missing the point. I think you're a solid brother, but the prerequisite was the question. See, you have to have a list
of
questions.
Well,
you're
somebody
want
kids. I'm on top. If I have to, I'll adopt.
No. I don't want no kids. The request is, do you want children? Adopt children? Have children? Be around children? Have too many grandchildren? That's the question.
Oh, I thought it was top or bottom.
Then you're just a sleaze.
No, I'm talking about bunk beds because I don't want to sleep in the same bed. Where was your mind? Wow.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
When's the last time you've been to old people's house and they had bunk beds and they were on top of each other?
I'm not old.
I said last time you've been to an old person's house.
I haven't been to an old person's house.
See, our grandparents and the old folks,
some have twin beds.
That's what I'm saying. They have twin beds. And
they're separate.
And I'm still trying to figure out how little Ricky got here.
I'm still trying to figure out how my grandmother had 10 kids.
Because Grandpa got up in the middle of the night for a glass of warm milk and tripped.
That's basically it. Because, I mean, my grandparents had separate rooms.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm trying to figure out how many children did they have?
Two.
What's that?
Oh, okay. Well, I know some that had separate rooms or separate beds, and they got like seven kids. Hello?
That was a retirement thing back then. These people, they ain't have no retirement, no Social Security. They having 16, 18 kids because they know, okay.
No, that was before the pill.
So they going like, well, one of them, I'm going to live with one of them.
I don't know because
my mother
don't want you to be on the pill.
And my father's parents has nine, so, and I'm still trying to figure out how that happens, separate beds, separate bedrooms.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, South Carolina, he's gone again. Hey, Alex, your mic is on, and Matt, your mic is on. So
you got a lot of mics.
You got a lot of mics.
Yeah,
you got a lot of mics.
I mean, you know, I got to tell you, with all of the conversations that come up on this show that tend to become incendiary, this one topic I've noticed gets the most heated conversation when it's you know, men versus women, or what do you do when you're married, where do you meet them. I love this conversation. It just makes me happy.
You know what? So does the rest of our listening audience, because I get calls after the show saying, I like that Alabama. He was right on point. He's when he said that, I'm like,
you know, but
I can't believe you guys are listening to us.
Well, what's really unique is that, you know, you've only got one other woman on the line. Bonnie didn't call in, right?
No, Bonnie hasn't called in. Just me and Diva, and both of us are single.
Yeah, and both of you are single.
Diva don't count.
No.
Diva, but Diva is about six or seven different women.
What?
No, Diva counts this
Diva,
time.
Diva talk enough for six or seven women. You get on here and make a point, it'd be all us men come together and say, yeah, women, this and she'll be, no. That's her. All day.
Dude, you out-talk me any day and twice on Sunday.
No, Diva.
See what I'm saying? Diva? You sit up here and debate six conservatives and libertarians every day, and they can come with, well, didn't you look? They'll come with facts. They'll come with Diva's still going to keep going. She don't care.
You're right.
The Diva, you can run a room. I have to hand that to you. Now, you, because I tell people Diva's in the chat room holding court.
Well, what y'all think of that $320 billion they added to the debt Friday? Y'all saw how quick they put that in there?
But now, wait a minute, Alabama. I heard the president. The president said.
I understand, but we've never had $320 billion in a day. In a day? That was crazy.
We're spending 53. We're borrowing.
No, wait. Even if we hadn't shut down, we wouldn't have been up no $320 billion in no 14 days. Now, they printed some money then.
But the president says just because we're increasing the debt limit don't mean we're any further in debt. I tried that on my wife. She won't let me have a new Corvette.
We crossed the 17 million platform.
Trillion.
Trillion. Yeah.
Trillion.
So, quadrillions comes next. Just want y'all to know. So.
Quadrillion?
Mm.
Yeah.
What comes next?
Go ahead, Alex. We hear you.
The baby carriage.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah.
We hear you, Mike, Alex. Go ahead.
Come on now. You know, what you guys
Mike,
you have to
he, hit the, he hit the mute button. He hit the mute button and he hit it back. But we hear him every time he hit his button.
You have to realize this. And I want you to hear me good. We have to pay for the government shutdown. And we have to pay for all this overtime and high-tech people with the Affordable Health Care Act, you can go to the Internet. And it's my understanding if they run all day long and all night long, they cannot get all of America on the Affordable Health Care Act on phone and or by computer by January. I guess that 1 + 1 = 3 is real math because they can explain away why they can't get all these people on.
But let me ask you a question. Wasn't the Affordable Health Care Act supposed to be about them doing it better than the private sector? Because I just can't see eBay or YouTube going down for 2 weeks like that, or for 30 days.
What the Affordable Health Care Act is.
You can watch a YouTube video. I just don't see that happening.
They spent
the Affordable Health Care Act.
Hold on, Diva.
They spent $500 million on a website, and Facebook only spent $50 million.
But that was private money.
$129 million. It started out at $55 million, and it ended up at $229 million. It's going to end up more than that because the website sucks. But YouTube
and
Facebook, trust me, when they first started out, they kept having
Diva.
Problems. You couldn't get on.
Diva, they were in a garage.
More.
Yeah, Diva, who's going to pay for that?
Diva, they were in a garage.
Diva, who's going to pay for
but
that?
But hold on.
Look at Amazon.
This is something
eBay.
They planned about. For years, that's called beta testing. I do IT. You do not go live and can't work for a month straight. Now, this happens in the government, but it because I worked in another guy. I know something now I was supposed to have been doing. I was working on a project 2 years ago, they say they were going to go live November of 2011. They still ain't went live. 2 years ago, I can call the guy right now, they ain't live. And they paying millions and millions, just money just getting thrown at it. It's the same project where I found the servers and could have got them for $5,000, both of them total, $5,000, and they spent $40,000. Same price.
Because Alabama, listen, we have to understand this. The government can't say we're not ready because everything is pushed on a political timeline called election.
Man,
so
they had 3 years
to
get this website together. I'm sorry, this is some BS.
Oh.
So
did the Republicans screw this up or did Bush do it?
No, this is all on the White House administration, Obama's administration. Why
hold
this
on,
website
hold on,
is
hold on,
failure?
Hold on. Just to make a point,
hallelujah, Carl Guinness She admitted that.
No. Hold on, man. Hold up. If you look at it.
No, Alabama. You got to hear what she said. Alabama.
I heard her. She blamed him. She blamed the administration, but I'm just saying. I mean, I think this whole website situation.
You know how hard it is for Diva to actually not be the press secretary and spin this positive?
I understand, but
if I can't do it. If I can't spin this in a positive light, I don't know how he can do it. They just might as well admit it was a failure, own up to it, fire the guy, lock him up, do something, and take it from there. Because it's horrible. I mean, I've been trying to get on their website since midnight October 1st, and I still cannot get past them keep asking me for my Social Security number.
Okay, so I have a question. Go ahead, Alabama. Hold on, Diva.
To get the information.
Hey, I heard that on that website there's a disclaimer that says we can't guarantee the privacy of your information, period.
But they said
I didn't see that. No, there's no disclaimer on that. There's no disclaimer.
No, I haven't seen that. What'd you say, Matt?
Well, I was going to say, now that we've reached a brand new plateau and the heavens have opened and the angels have sang and Diva put some of this on the administration, my next question is, because this was promised to run smooth, whether it makes sense or not, it was promised to run smoothly and promised to be all done by January. Now my question is, now is anybody on the left going to question that the bill itself might be run much in the same way? Just curious.
No.
Because y'all really don't know what the bill is about. It's not a bill. You don't really know what the law is about. So.
Well, I knew that this wasn't going to work. I knew that. How did you not expect it to work?
I mean, this age of technology, how could you expect it to be effective? Well, yeah, I guess if you think government sucks, yeah, you would think that. But, I mean, it's too much technology out there to have this abject of a failure.
But not only that, they could have took the $320 billion they just spent it.
They could have gave me $25 and I'd have done better.
No, they could have took the $320 billion they printed the other day and actually went out and bought people health care better than this website.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, guys, I want you to really understand this, and we need to be really honest about this. If you can't do the website, what do you think about the actual execution of the law when it comes to your health?
Well, the problem is it's going to be just like the IRS code. Nobody actually is going to know what it's in the law. They've already written 22,000 pages of regulation for this thing. I mean,
Alabama,
hold up, because you know we can't talk that fast. Go ahead, Six.
You're going to be breaking the law and not even know you're breaking the law.
The Unaffordable Health Care Act?
An executable health care act.
There you go. That's the better one.
The IRS has been very, very good at collecting their money, so I don't think that's going to be a problem.
No, they're not. You didn't see how many earned income credits have gone out. There was billions of dollars last year in collecting their money.
I didn't say giving out money. They may be bad at giving out money, but when it comes to collecting their money.
That's because they scared the crap out of the world.
That's because they got automatic withholding.
Oh.
Do away with automatic withholding and see how quick there's a tax revolt in the United States of America.
Hold on, guys. 540, your mic is on.
Yes, good thing, Tracy and friends. This is Bob from Youngstown.
Hi, Bob.
What we are looking at is a program from the outset designed to fail. It was designed to fail, not to succeed.
Why, though?
Why?
Explain why it was designed to fail.
Because in 2008 and 2009, our illustrious leader stood before union representatives and union members and made a public statement that is on record and it's available as a video, that his goal is a single-payer plan. That is his idea of the ultimate utopia, and that is why it's designed the way it is. People like us are getting more and more frustrated with our government, more and more frustrated with these so-called laws and programs. Eventually, they will just make an edict and say, listen, this is an untenable situation. The insurance companies aren't cooperating. They'll put the blame elsewhere, of course, as they always do. And the public is too stupid to do for themselves. So Big Uncle John will come along, or Uncle Tom or whatever his name is, Uncle Sam, and he's going to fix everything for you. We will have a single-payer plan. We'll eliminate these vicious, greedy, money-grubbing insurance companies, and we will take care of you from cradle to grave.
Julia.
I would agree with that. Only thing is that the healthcare exchanges are not run by private insurance. They're run by state government, except for the states who will not have it, then it's run by the federal government. As far as the implementation of the actual insurance plans, that is all private industry. So the website failure has nothing to do with how the actual insurance works. But, yeah, I do agree this all is leading up to single payer from the very beginning.
Hey, listen, I got to take a break. But listen,
but
I got
to
Alabama. I got to take my break. I'll be right back. But listen, I'm going to leave the mics on. But can I tell you something? I'm reading something, and it's called – it's just a blog. And it says healthcare.gov debacle. Spare some blame for both Bush and Clinton. I'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges.
But this is like a guy getting a job, right? You talk, he comes in, he gets his resume, makes a good point, nice suit, looks nice, talks nice, and he comes into the job, and he can't even turn the computer on. That's what this looks like to me. If you can't do a website, there's no way you're going to be able to – that's just me. I mean, just about every program from the Cash for the Clunkers, everything they do, so,
well, I think
I mean,
he got conned just like he got conned with Sindra and
everything they run, Amtrak is losing money. Everything they take over fails. And then, hold on, and this is the thing. They just print $320 billion, and this is what gets me about liberals. If you're an idealist and you believe your principles, and then when somebody says, well, we're running out of money, you're like, well, yeah, we're running out of money, but we can run fiscally responsible things. Then they just go out Friday and print $320 billion, and the liberals don't have anything to say. They're not upset. They're just printing all these billions and trillions of dollars, and the liberals don't have this deal. They just, as long as they get their cut, they can care less about the debt. And it's just
– I take high offense to that because as the – technically the only
liberal, but you don't care about them printing $320 billion Friday.
If you
don't really want
to call me a liberal, okay, I'll let you. I take offense to that because you never asked me how I felt about them printing up and spending $320 billion in a day. You just made the assumption that all liberals think that way. And you're not talking to all liberals right now. You're only talking to me.
Where did they go?
I'm the only liberal on the show. And yet you didn't ask me that.
Diva, you ain't got to be on the show. I'm going to say the same thing about a liberal. It ain't got nothing to do with you.
You
I mean,
said,
I really,
oh,
I, last time, hold, let me make a point. Last time I made
that.
A point about liberals, I ain't even talking about you.
He didn't say all liberals. He said all these liberals. There's a difference.
Okay.
All these liberals that believe that this is a good thing is what he was getting at.
But, Diva, where did the $320 billion go?
Look, your clue is as good as mine because I'm shocked, too. I'm like, what the heck? 14 days, three. The Treasury only doesn't even take in that amount.
So, Diva, is it safe to say that the government is corrupt? Because that's our money they stole Friday. They took it and printed it off and put it in their pocket, and all we know. So,
hey guys,
is it safe to say that we're dealing with some crooks? Who that, Alex?
Hey, guys. Yeah.
What's up?
How
ahead,
y'all doing? You know, I agree with what y'all saying. I mean, I'd have to look into that about that $300 billion, whatever. What I wanted to address real quick was what, because Diva made a comment just a couple minutes ago saying that it was private companies' fault for this website. Is that what
no,
you're saying?
No, that's not what I said. No.
What can you explain that? Because you said something that if something was the private company's fault.
No, I didn't say anything about the private company's fault. I said the insurance, actual insurance that people will be given or buying, that is all ran by private insurance industry. The government is not providing a system at this point, such as Medicare and Medicaid, to the people. It's all private industry. However, the websites are run by state governments in the states that have them. and then the states who refuse to implement Affordable Health Care Act in their state, then you have to go to the federal website, which is healthcare.gov.
But you know what, though, Diva, just to make a point, the reason that the insurance premiums and the deductibles are going up is because the competition is going out. A lot of insurance companies are going out of business. And the few companies that got in with the government and wrote this law, they're the ones that they raise their prices because they know there's no competition.
Of course. That's why I think that this, the way that they went
if the insurance companies are crooks,
yeah,
and they went in through the government and the government is complacent, that's like if you robbed a bank and I'm the getaway guy. With both of them crooks, why would we push to give one of the crooks the keys to the vault? It's the same thing to me.
Person who wins the Mega Million, wins through, a person who goes from broke and winning $168 million, they're going to spend it like they got it, like it ain't never going to end. And that's how the government spends. And that's whether you right or left, Republican or Democrat. They all spend like it's forever, never-ending money.
But if you keep up with the economy, right now we've went to all-time highs, right? It's going to, and this is the fastest it's going. This is the first time the economy going in the other direction than the stock market. When it comes, it's got to correct itself. It's going to come down fast. It's going to come down in probably a day. It's going to go down real bad, and it's going to go down to where it really is, which is about 6,000 to 7,000. So everybody's going to suffer. And so it's like we can't just sit and say, well, I mean, let's not fight the bully. He's going to take our money, but let's just give it to him. I mean, it's at a point where we just got to stop. This is crazy. Like,
because
$320 billion,
is,
nobody, everybody should be mad with the government. Fox News isn't really saying nothing.
The problem
MSNBC
here, they're not.
Isn't saying
problem
nothing.
Is,
nobody's
problem
saying
is,
nothing.
Because no matter who you get into office, you're going to have an ideologue. And an ideologue is going to figure out, okay, I'm going to run the country according to how I see fit. You know, Democrats, we prefer a larger government.
I don't have a problem. If that ideologue tells the truth and don't lie and try to front, I'd rather what he is. Because
no,
I felt like Ron Paul was a good guy.
No, it's the difference because the right may say we need to cut spending, but they're going to cut spending how they see fit. And the left also believes in cutting spending, but they're going to see cutting spending as in other programs that they
disagree. Where does Obama believe in cutting spending? Because he doubles down on a military industrial complex.
Obama actually believes in cutting spending wherever you can find it that's not going to hurt the people on the bottom.
It's the same for every Democrat and Republican. The Republicans try to focus on social programs. The Democrats, they always cut from defense. I have buddies here in Orlando. My old employer, Lockheed Martin, where I used to design missiles back in the day. You know, they just laid off 600 people at the plant over here in Orlando because the year or two before that they laid off another 400 or 500 people. So, I mean, every time the Democrats come in, the defense industry goes down. I think Northrop Grumman and Raytheon, they've both, you know, purged a lot of people, you know, defense contractors. And when Republicans come in, then those jobs come back, and then, you know, but never as many as what was lost before. And, you know, but that's what happens. Yeah, Democrats tend to cut defense and some other stuff, and Republicans try to cut the social programs. But they both want to grow the government. That's the fallacy. They both want to grow the government. And that's why I can't stand either one of them. That's
So, Alex, let me ask you. So we have a President Rand Paul.
Uh-huh.
You think that, well, is he a libertarian, or what is he? Because I know his father, Ron Paul. Now
he's a libertarian-leaning Republican because his father, you know, obviously was a libertarian, ran as the libertarian candidate, and was it 88 or whatever, but then has been Republican ever since. So he's libertarian-leaning because his father has obviously taught him libertarian ideals.
Okay, so President Ron Paul.
Hey, I'm back.
You really
I'm trying to play where President Obama
Republican
talked about single-payer health insurance, and the volume is too low, and I want to thank Bill for making sure that I get the clip. The volume's too low where you guys won't be able to hear it. And
there's another clip floating around the Internet, one of President Obama's advisors saying, people are saying this is a Trojan horse for single payer. Well, it's not. He says it's not a Trojan horse. It's just right out there in the open.
I think you guys are right. I agree with what they're saying.
What really bothers me is, having traveled through nations that had single payer, the American people don't realize what they're asking for. They really do not understand the substandard health care that the rest of the world has with single payer systems.
Well, the one good thing about it is that nobody will be coming to this
the
country
public option
to get health care anymore.
Is not your enemy. It is your friend, I believe. Let me also address a illegitimate concern that's being put forward by those who are claiming that a public option is somehow a Trojan horse for a single-payer system.
My commitment is to make sure that we've got universal health care for all Americans by the end of my first term as president. I would hope that we set up a system that allows those who can't go through their employer to access a federal system or a state pool of some sort. But I don't think we're going to be able to eliminate employer coverage immediately. There's going to be potentially some transition process. I can envision a decade out or 15 years out or 20 years out.
I happen to be a proponent of a single-payer universal health care plan. A single-payer health care plan. Universal health care plan. That's what I'd like to see.
I think if we get a good public option, it could lead to single payer, and that's the best way to reach single payer.
And next to me was a guy from the insurance company who then argued against the public health insurance option, saying it wouldn't let private insurance compete, that a public option will put the private insurance industry out of business.
Nobody is talking about some government takeover of health care.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. The number is 347-945-5229.
Does the devil speak with a forked tongue?
One.
I'm sorry, but did I just hear that marble mouth Barney Frank actually admit what you just said, and that's that the public option is the best way to reach the single-payer health care? I swear to God, he said those exact
words. I'm just shocked that you guys are shocked.
I think if we get a good public option, it could lead to single payer, and that's the best way to reach single payer.
You know your voices, don't you?
Well, that one's not a hard one to miss.
I'm just shocked that you guys are shocked. I've been saying this since for 3 years that this is what this
We're
is going to do.
We're not shocked, Diva.
Diva, we knew what this was all about to start with. We're just amazed the people that don't.
You know what? You know what, Diva? If Jesus was sitting up, and he was operating all this stuff, and it was somebody that we thought was pious and gonna do the right and do right and do what they say, I might actually listen. But when you got people printing $320 billion and we just don't know where it went Friday, and nobody has we don't see the danger in that. Do you see the danger in that, Diva? Do you see the danger in the same people that did that, that just printed all that money off Friday and just we don't know where it went? And these are the same people that's going to be over our health care. Well, I know it's in somebody's pocket, but I'm just saying.
It went to the big bankers.
No, the big bankers, the Republicans' money is money to banks, not Democrats.
The only ones who are afraid of a single-payer health system are those who are right-leaning or who are on the right. The people who vote for the majority, elect President Obama, re-elect President Obama, they want that system.
That's
so what are you trying to get them to care?
Diva.
They want socialism?
Hold on, Alabama, wait up. Listen, do you all realize that 75% of the people in America, when you say single-payer, public option, and all them buzzwords, they don't know what you're talking about?
Yes, they do. And not only that, people are getting up in arms because the president promised us we could keep our doctors, we can keep our health cares. They've made so many health care plans that people had illegal with this law. The average person in this country is going to pay 80% more for health insurance than they were paying before.
Do you realize nobody knows what you're talking about? And they agree because they say free. But they don't know it's
free.
You know it's not free, but most people don't. Hold on. Let's look at this in a common sense approach and slow this down just for a little bit.
Right.
You saw where, I believe it was Jimmy Fallon,
went on the streets of America
mm-hmm.
and asked people which one was the better health care service, Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act. And very few people said
Affordable Health Care
Act. It was the same.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really understand that? Do you really think people really know what single payer means?
All you have to do is say Medicaid, Medicare. They'll understand single payer then. Medicaid
no,
and Medicare for everyone.
Hold on. But I want to understand. So you're telling me that it's okay for these crooks to have this over your health care? The same people that, even if they say the IRS are going after people, let's say a racist Republican gets in, like you think, and he goes after you. You think that's okay? Because that's what you're about to do. You know what?
Absolutely.
I'm going to say this right here. There's a story I heard. A guy say, I'm going to catch these pigs. This guy has some pigs running on his property, right? The guy said, I want to catch these pigs, right? So he got this guy to come in. The guy came in. He put some food out. The pigs kept eating, right? Then he put a post up. Pigs came, looked at the post, kept eating. He put up 10 to 15 different posts. Pigs kept coming every day. Finally, he wrapped the post up and left the door open. The pigs kept coming to the trough eating. Finally, he closes the trough and takes the bin and closes it up, traps them, and takes them off to the slaughter. And the guy said, well, man, that's a good idea. Where you get? He said, if you eat from me, I can control you. That's what people want. That's what you want. That's what you want. You want
Hold on, Diva. Hold on, Alabama. Listen, I need you, because I got other people that want to say something. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Well, the thing about it is, though, you know, Alabama's 100% correct. I mean, whenever you've got a system that is basically it's enslaving by proxy. I mean, people don't realize it, but they're being driven to the slaughter. You know, the Affordable Health Care Act is designed to create a permanent class of people that would be totally and completely dependent on the system. That's it. And they want the rest of us to pay for it.
Diva has all the knowledge, though.
Has gone up, okay? It has gone up $74 a month that I'm paying out of my pocket, plus it's gone up the $2,000 that I'm going to have to pay in deductible, plus the medication that I'm going to have to pay for before I get to that $2,000 deductible. So it's not gone down, and it hasn't gone down. I know I've got friends that are business owners that were told that they're as of January 1st, they no longer have health insurance because they're not going to be operating anymore. And that's somebody that's paying over $800 a month for health care. Yeah, he lied. He lied, and people are just saying, okay, that's no problem, Mr. Obama. Just give us some more stuff to eat.
But it's like Diva has the knowledge, because Diva will sit up here and say that the bankers are controlling Washington and they're the bad guys. Then she'll say, okay, if they control Washington, why are you trying to trust the bankers with your health care? Because these bankers are holy. It's well documented. Let's make a point.
Bankers control Washington. That is not my argument. So you
don't think? Bush gave them TARP. Hold on. Bush gave them TARP. Obama doubled down on the same thing. So you're trying to tell me that that's not the case? You don't believe that?
I've never argued this point.
Here's one thing about the bailout.
Let me finish right quick. The point I'm trying to make is those bankers that run Washington, Republican and Democrat, have stated on numerous occasions that they want the world's population under a billion people. This is what they've stated. Now, this ain't hard for me. If I can send you this stuff, you probably don't want it. But that's what they want. I'm telling you that's what they want. And you want to give them in charge of your health care and all your personal information, all your health, all your allergies. They won't know everything about you. And you have no problem with it as long as you ain't got to go out and work and have to pay for something on your own. That's saying.
Diva, do you hear your name being called? I got to be able to navigate this. It's just not fair if somebody wants to say something, you just take over all over again. Go ahead.
Not only that, they got private companies, and I want you to go get DNA tests so you know what diseases you're entitled to get or you're likely to get. Now, what's that information worth?
Tracy, one of the things that a lot of folks don't understand when they say that they bailed out the banks, They've loaned those banks money, and the banks paid the money back. That's what they're not saying. A bailout of a bank and with an agreement to pay the money back, it's a loan. It's not a bailout. It's not free money that they gave them. They paid the money back with interest.
Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, Pat, on that, yeah, that's kind of – it's not entirely true. You're talking about there's about $1.2 trillion that was documented that was loaned to them. But what that $1.2 trillion of loans was – they were bad loans to begin with because the collateral that they had to give up was – it was substandard. Nobody – you know, it was basically the collateral that they put up was bad assets, which was but then we want to turn around and talk about predatory lending or talk about lending practices, you know, how they were lending to individuals in the country, but yet you want to, you know, put a stamp of approval on the loan that we gave to the banks when they should have never got that loan because they had substandard collateral that they put up. And so
by the federal government in the first place.
I don't care who it was implemented by. It still shouldn't have been done. But point, I'll just say this real quick. My second point is that the loan that the banks that received the loan is the same banks that are likely part of the Federal Reserve that printed the money in the first place, where when the government goes to pay that money back, so these banks are being paid on both ends because they're likely the ones that's in the Federal Reserve printing the money, collecting interest from the U.S. government on the money that's being printed, and then they turn around and give the money to the same banks that created the problem in the first place. I mean, if we cannot see the racket here, then we really need to focus on education in this country because this is clearly a racket.
Yep, every dollar.
If the federal government tells a bank, if you operate in a community, then you have to make certain loans to certain people in that community, okay? Even if they're bad, you still have to make those loans, okay? So you make a law that says they got to do it, and then you turn around and try and tell them, hey, when they go bad, it's your fault? I don't think so.
There's a couple things that we really need to make people understand out there. Every Federal Reserve note that's created by the Federal Reserve, because you don't have, if you look in your wallet, it says Federal Reserve note, the taxpayers of the United States are paying interest on that. Every dollar. And we need to understand that, and we need to look at what these people are after, because it would have cost less money to write a check for the federal government to go to the Treasury and write a check for every residential mortgage in the United States than what they spent on the banks. This was
also
a bailout of the bankers, by the bankers, and for the bankers.
Go ahead.
Just to bolster the point that Alex made, there is footage of this guy from the bank coming in, literally telling them, look, there's a certain amount. I can't remember specifically. Alex may remember. There's a certain amount of money. They just don't know what happened. And we're not talking about a few billion. We're talking about a lot of money. And this guy told him, I can't tell you that. I'm not at liberty to tell you that. That's not. And then when the guy, and then there's another footage of Alan Greenspan saying, we don't have to answer to nobody.
Right.
We don't have to answer. That's what this guy said. So, I mean, to sit up here and say, and these are the same people that's saying they want a billion people on Earth. These are the same people.
Let's go back and look at the history of this. The Federal Reserve was created under the Wilson administration. But the thing is, what people don't understand, I've been doing some history reading this weekend, the big bankers paid for Teddy Roosevelt to run against Taft because Taft was against the Federal Reserve. Wilson was for it, and if they knew that Teddy Roosevelt could split the vote, get Wilson elected, and they'd get their Fed. J.P. Morgan and the big bankers bought and paid for the Federal Reserve through Woodrow Wilson.
And Black folks backed him up with the deal that he made with Frederick Douglass.
Even though he was showing Birth of a Nation at the White House.
And he was one of the most racist presidents we've ever had in the White House.
Absolutely. Eugenist. He was a eugenist.
And a Ku Klux Klansman. I'm just throwing that out there.
And we name high schools after him here in Youngstown.
Oh, all over the country. And call him a great guy. Just thought I'd put out there. And then fight to make sure we keep the name. Yes, would you like to say something, Ben?
No, I'm just...
You're getting a history lesson.
Yeah, no, it's just... I mean, when you think about it, how crazy could it be? I mean, you could not write a better farce. You know what I'm saying? I mean...
Fact is often stranger than fiction.
When the lemons are really actually human beings, I mean, it's kind of ironic.
Yes, this is South
Carolina.
It was a
100-year plan. It was a 100-year plan, and it's finally coming to fruition. That's all there is to it.
And you can't tell them the truth because they don't believe it.
But the question is, and let me ask this, and as I head up into the top of the hour, when will Americans wake up and find out that the boat that they think that is going to last is actually a Titanic and it's sinking?
That's a question for Diva.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I allowed to talk now? I mean,
you can't talk on everybody. Give us a chance to give everybody a chance to get in because it's just not, you know, we got a lot of voices on there.
Tracy just asked you a question.
No, that you asked a question.
When he asks me a question or addresses me specifically, I should have the opportunity to answer them. But to answer your question, the fact remains is that, yes, I hear Republicans like you guys offer sound advice sometimes. But then when your leadership gets in office, it's a different story. And when you have people like John Boehner, Michelle Bachmann's, Ted Cruz's, George Bush's, then people like me tend to not believe that your ideals and your ideas are sound for us because
so
you just
can
think
I ask, wait a minute, before you,
than us.
I got a question for you, Diva, because this is my issue with the whole political process. As Republican as I am, I really try not to think like the Republicans, if that makes any sense, or as a conservative, Ted Cruz, you know, Boehner, whoever they are, whatever their names are. I try to shape my own opinions, period. So I really don't go by somebody else's ideology, ideals. I have my own. The question is, does anybody else ever do that? Because I am having a hard time with this. I'm not thinking like Republicans, and I'm not thinking like Democrats. I'm just thinking like I'm a breathing human being, and people are selling me like a piece of chattel, and no one wants to save me. And instead of us opening up our eyes and being a pawn on the chessboard, what we're doing is we're walking into the furnace, and they're talking about taking a shower.
You are the first person that I can say is listening to the show and hearing you grow over the past 3 years and hearing you now, I can actually say that, no, you don't sound like a Republican all the time. You sound like you actually want what's best, and that's why I posted on your Facebook page saying you should run for mayor of Youngstown.
Wrong. No, you've got the wrong
you
vision.
What? No, I'm telling you.
Mm-mm. No.
And I told you, I will be your Jay Carney. I will get out there and march for you because I believe in you.
Steve, that's a bad word. Mayor Tracy.
No, that's not.
Yes, it is.
That's not.
Go back to,
ask the main kitchen.
No. I'm just saying over. Yeah, Matt.
I've said this a million times on this show, and I don't know why it falls on deaf ears every time. Everybody who calls into this show and everybody who has been on this show, South Carolina, Alabama, myself, Ben, Jeff, Tracy, we have all called out our political side's leadership at some point and also quite often. So I don't understand this, when your people get into office, it's a whole different – no, it's not a different story. We have been calling out George Bush, John Boehner, mm-hmm. all the people you mentioned, except maybe not as much Ted Cruz. But you know what? I'll call – Rand Paul I've been calling out lately. Chris Christie. So we need to stop saying that because it's completely false and completely untrue. And with a show that has archives to it, I suggest you go back and listen to people call out – our own side.
Well,
this is my issue. They're killing all of us, Diva. But Diva, this is my issue. They're killing America. What we love, who we are, what we're about.
They are destroying the fabric.
Would you call that fundamentally transforming?
Absolutely. And the America that I know, I don't think your 13-year-old daughter who turned 13 over the weekend, the greatness that I have here in America, even though it's not perfect, we are opening up a can of worms, and it's going to change so much, and we're going to be like everyone else. And America was never designed to be like everyone else. America was designed to be a leader and to be different.
That's right. When an American goes to Europe, and the average American, and talks about what they have, the average European thinks you're a multimillionaire and you're just middle class like everybody else.
We are giving everything that we have to anyone else instead of
but
us
the
actually
problem
just
is-
come. Well, now let me finish this. I really want to get this out, and this is really hurting my heart, in my gut. It bothers me because we are giving that which God has given us away. And we are selling it to the highest and or the lowest bidder that other people are going to win. And the American people in general at large, overwhelmingly, that 47%, 53%, they're going to lose. Because even when you look at it, and hold on, Diva, the people are so concerned about the upper 2% who we don't know about and the lower 1% who don't care if they make it up tomorrow, that everybody in the middle is going to be destroyed. And we won't wake up long enough to realize this house is really on fire. And I hate to say this, but we need to quit singing and let the song burn, you know?
But the problem is, Tracy, is that you can tell me all these things, but majority of people, you have to show them. And that's why I listened to the show, Youngstown. The reason why Youngstown is so stuck and stagnant the way it is because people don't know any other way. Why? Because it's just purely voting Democrat. We have no viable Republican candidates that
you don't have to vote for Republican, you don't have to vote for Democrat. You got to vote for right sometimes. Because right
when
now
we don't like the crop that they have running for mayor now. I'm like, I can't believe that this is the best they have to offer, but it's the best they have to offer. Why? Because no matter what Democrat they put up there is going to win. So they don't have to really – you don't really have anybody who's really going to fight for Youngstown who's going to run on Democrat.
That's what I'm saying. We don't want people to fight for Youngstown because when people fight for Youngstown, people don't stand up behind them and they kill them.
And I'll tell you what, if you're black in Youngstown, I don't think they want you in a power or position anymore anyhow. I mean, there hasn't been a Democrat or a party chief Democrat that came out and supported a black candidate in Youngstown ever that I can think of.
When was the last statewide Democrat?
Republican came out and supported our last black mayor, correct?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you got to understand,
right?
Eva, we don't support our own, let alone let somebody else support.
When you talk like that, when you say stuff like that, it turns people off. It tunes people off. You need to learn how to talk to people where they are and who they are as who they are. It might be true, but how you're talking is not going to reach them because they're going to tune you out. You have to know your audience. You want to get them truth, you have to learn how to give them the truth and how they can understand it and not how you want to give it to them.
Diva, listen
to
what I'm saying. I'm not running for office.
Like
I'm just being honest with people.
Right now,
what I am seeing is we are overwhelmingly getting ready to walk into the abyss. Look, you want to see the school board candidates running here in Mahoning Valley. I mean, you really ought to see this. It's bad.
It's terrible.
Something's
got
to give. That's why I say you need to run for mayor.
Diva, you can't run for mayor and win if you don't have infrastructure and support. And you need to have an educated electorate, and they have dumbed down the electorate so much.
All you need is the God Almighty behind your back, and you'll make it.
I'm not running for mayor.
That's true. That's true. But you know what? Tracy's more powerful sitting right here in this seat. Sitting in the seat of the mayor.
That's what you may believe, but it hasn't changed anything in three years.
I know how things work,
Diva,
unlike most liberals, I know how things work, and I know one thing. That when you can say what you want to say, it's much more important and powerful that that you do that through the media than it is for you to sit behind an office where you got 20 people pulling on you and threatening you every day if they don't get their way. You don't need that. You need to be able to speak out and get the people to move. When you rally the people, it makes a difference. Now,
and
I drove my car
working?
To ditch when
how
I heard you say
that,
though.
I'll be right back. Listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. We'll see you on the other side.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The whole.
That's all I'm saying. How much has that worked since the 3 years that I've been listening to the show and listening to Tracy, and it's not changed one iota? Why? Because the people in Youngstown, they go not by what I'm hearing, but what I'm seeing. They will not trust the Republican because, yes, that's what they have been inclined to believe all these years. And they think any Democrat will serve better than a Republican. Whether you agree with it or not, whether it's true or not, that's how it is. And in order for the climate to change, they need to get the right Republican to run.
That's what they've been taught.
Something's got to give.
That's what they've been taught. That's how they've been indoctrinated, and that's what they're going to believe. Okay,
but
it's like
anybody can change their thoughts and their beliefs. It's not set in stone. It's just a matter of, okay, me showing you that I'm not who you think I am. It's not about what you think it is.
When you've got a Republican, out there, what happens? The media demonizes them. Even if it's not true, they're going to make it seem like it's true.
Well, I have not seen, I don't know about your media, but the Vindicator and the local stations in Youngstown have, at least when I've been living here, have been pretty decent about their coverage. I'm not talking about national levels. I'm talking about local. Because I'm sick and tired of when Youngstown staying and being stagnated as it is. Something's got to give. That city is about to fall to the wayside. It's about like a desert town now. And that's where I grew up at. Something's got to give. And when you look at the Republicans that the Democrats are putting up now, I mean, these jokers, I'm like, this is ridiculous. And they can do it. Why? Because they know no matter who they put in office in that city, no matter, as long as they're Democrat, people are going to vote for them. And
go.
So nothing's going to change about Youngstown.
And why would you want to do that? Why would you want to put somebody up that you know is no good? It's because they have the power and they're going to keep the power.
Because, the power lies with the people. But the people are believing that Republicans are so evil, they're going to take away all their social programs, they're going to take away their public education, they're not going to do anything for them, they're going to only do it for the businesses. But I don't believe that about Tracy, and that's why I say Tracy should run for mayor. I don't believe that about Tracy. And if people get to know Tracy like I've gotten to know Tracy, they will see that she is what's good for Youngstown.
Right. Well, Youngstown is a lot like Cleveland, and Cleveland has the same thing. They've had a Democratic leadership in Cleveland ever since I've been alive, and the city is just getting more and more and more run down. It's almost a ghost town too for a major U.S. city. And the problem is that once you establish a foothold with a certain party or a certain political belief system, they are not going to allow you to use language like, this city is becoming a ghost town. It's becoming ruined. And point out the problems, which is what Republicans would have to do. They would have to say, look at what the Democrats have done to this city for the last 40 or 50 years. That's what they would have to say.
Chris Christie. No holds barred. Governor Chris Christie. He says what he says and means what he says, and you don't have to like it. And yet, because of that, he was voted governor of a blue state that was
He's a freaking major rhino.
Okay, but why does he have to be a rhino? Because he believes in the people, and he wants to do what's good for the state.
No, everybody believes in the people. That's the catchline.
No. It's not about right or left. It's about what's going to work, and that's what works.
No, that's called
it works for him.
That's
wait a minute. So because he is because he shakes hands and hugs President Obama's and agrees with some things that President Obama's doing or whatever, he's a rhino. So you're
no,
only Republican
no,
you
no,
disagree
no, 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 no.
with
Steve. Steve.
No,
no, no, no.
Just
make
that decision on your own. That's not why I go after Chris Christie. It has nothing to do with President Obama.
Okay, what makes him a rhino then?
Environmentalist beliefs and his BS leftist beliefs when it comes down to the weather and environmentalism. And he's also getting into this social welfare state of mind right now. It has nothing to do with Obama. It has to do with his leftist-leaning beliefs that all of a sudden came to light about 2 years ago.
Okay,
exactly.
But what if you're governor of all people, okay, in a state? You see that there are people who are hurting, who need services. Whether there's abuse or not, yes, so it's for him to say no, because I don't believe in social services as a Republican, and because there's a little bit of abuse, I'm not going to go along with that. He can't.
But Diva, there's a lie out there. There's a lie out there. There's a good, solid lie. We do not have as many poor people in this country as people are saying. We have a lot of folks that are milking the system and working the system, and I do not believe
Lord,
it.
Lord, have mercy.
The news media is lying to us.
I don't have to watch the news media to know the truth, South Carolina. The truth is all around you. I don't know where you're at in your small town or wherever, if you're still on the farm or whatever, but the truth is out there. People are in need. Yes, I'm not going to sit here and say that there are people in the system, but people are truly in need to say that that's a lie and the media is brainwashing you. No, that's a lie. That's a lie you created and made up in your bubble, because that's not the
truth.
They're
in need of what?
They're in need of whatever. Okay, so a person who makes $725 is the federal wage, $725 an hour, working 40 hours a week and has 3 kids. You think that they're going to be able to pay rent and utilities with that and be able to pay for food and pay for their everyday basic needs for themselves and their kids?
Listen, that's not the person I'm talking about.
But that's the majority of the people, and you said there's not that many people out there like that. Yes, there are. There are more people like that than you think.
No.
Yes, there is. And you're saying that I'm being brainwashed. People are like me, think like me, are being brainwashed by the media. No, we're not. We see it. It's an everyday reality, whether it's in our own lives, in our families, or we see it in our communities or surrounding communities. We see it. We see it at our jobs. It makes no sense that you have military personnel have to be on food stamps.
Hold on. Here's the problem that you're running into. You have people that have done this on their own, okay? But the majority of these people have done this to themselves on their own. It has not been something that has happened by somebody else's doing. So
Nobody's blaming somebody else because somebody's poor, somebody's in need. What we're saying is,
let's not look at
the circumstances. Let's look at how we can help them.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. I love you to death, but there comes a point in time where you start listening to your own voice and not listening to anybody else, okay? The bottom line is this. I have worked with the poor. I deal with the poor, okay? My job makes me deal with the poor, all right? I know poor when I see it, and I see people milking the system. When you've got a 21-year-old man walking the streets and not getting a job because he gets more on unemployment than he can get working a job, then there is something wrong with that community.
No one is saying that that doesn't happen, but when you
said that happens more than
people in need, and the media is brainwashing you into thinking otherwise. That's what I'm saying. No, you are wrong.
No, you're not wrong
in thinking that people think that there's a lot of poor, needy people out here just because because the news media is reporting it on TV. I'm sorry. If you watch Fox News, that's what we mostly had before MSNBC came along and CNN. They weren't reporting that.
Let me tell you something, Sal. You and I and everybody else that disagrees with Diva's position has never walked outside their house, apparently. She knows how to look around and find the right areas to look, but I've never been traveled all over the country.
Yeah.
I've never been out to California. I've never been to Florida. I've never been to Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia. I've never been to New York. I've never been to Chicago. I've never been these places and never seen these people before. The only thing that we know, South Carolina, is that what we see on TV. So we'll just have to take the bad or worse.
No. That's what he's trying to tell me, and that's what I'm trying to tell him. No, you're wrong about. Yes, nobody is disagreeing that there's not abuse in the system. There's abuse anywhere somebody can feel like they could get something from someone else, whether it's at the top or the bottom. Nobody is saying that. What I'm saying is that for him to say that there are more people abuse the system than are poor and in need is wrong, and then he said that the only reason why you think like that is because of media. No, that's what he's wrong about. He's the one who's saying that we get our information from the media. No one's saying that you guys are getting your info just from the media. Yes, I know that everybody know that there is abuse in the system, that you can name a couple of people, but that's it, a couple of people. But you don't hear the stories of the people who are truly actually in need.
Hey, guys.
Your chance to be unbuttoned is president's best. Then he kissed his magic guitar pick, and it made an evil hit. And a band of politicians joined in, and it sounded something like this. Joe said, well, you're pretty good, Hussein, but sit right there with that arrogant glare till I finished up my player. He played.
Obama's in D.C., run, boys, run. The devil in the White House ain't no fun. Chickens in Congress taking our dough. Granny got Medicare, no child, no.
We're back. Listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Sticks, I don't know where you find that kind of stuff from. Jeez, oh, man.
That should be on the top 10.
Yeah.
That should be on the top 10?
That's a top 10 hit there.
You know what you
That's going to have to be our Barack Obama heads up song.
Oh, God, that's right. Oh, my gosh. If I was running for president, I would definitely use that against him. Of course, he's not going to be running again, thank God. But
guess who?
We don't know about that.
What do you mean you don't know about that?
Well, you think he's going to have the...
He said unlimited terms for president, right?
Well,
somebody said they saw a bumper sticker that said Hillary 2016, Michelle 2022, Malaya, whatever, the next cycle at 24, and Sasha the next one.
Well, actually, no, it'll be Chelsea. Don't get it twisted.
That's right, Chelsea.
Chelsea's getting very interested in politics, and she's not a Kennedy, so she can live.
That was a bad one. I mean, that's worse than
that was pretty good.
That's a bad one. Boo.
Hey, listen here. I was a John Kennedy fan. Who cares? I don't even know if he was a liberal or not.
No, he was.
Tracy, he was dead before you were born.
Oh, yeah.
I said John Kennedy, baby, not JFK.
She wanted to marry little John.
I told him if he really wanted to do something, he should have married a black woman.
He shouldn't have gotten that airplane.
That's why he shouldn't have read a spy plane.
You got to understand, if he had married a black woman,
he wouldn't have been in the airplane.
He wouldn't have been in the airplane.
Black women don't get in airplanes?
Yeah, we do, but not in the middle of the night going into a storm, just hanging out, kicking it. That's not happening.
Fog bank, yeah.
No, we don't do that.
Now, he wasn't even rated to fly at night, too.
No, he wasn't rated on the instrument.
Yeah.
So how do you know he's dead? I think he's hanging out with Tupac.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
I think I know that he's dead because they found a plane with him in it. But
did you see the picture?
Yes. I didn't see the picture.
No. Did you see the picture?
Of the plane, yeah.
No. Did you see the picture of him?
No, I don't think they showed that.
Tupac and John John hanging out, drinking with Snowden in Russia.
I'll tell you what, Tupac was one of the smartest. I mean, to get out of that, you know, they were killing each other, West Coast, East Coast. He says, I'm done with this. I got my money. I'm gone. Smart.
He didn't get too far. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM.
He's still alive.
14 minutes after. That's what I said. John
are
hanging out in Russia.
You believe in shadow people, but you don't believe Tupac's alive?
I don't know if I believe in shadow people.
I got a question for you guys. Speaking of Snowden and Russian and Tupac and all them people, I forgot.
You forgot your question.
Yeah.
Hey, did we mention that the Steelers won and the Browns?
Browns lost.
Things are back to normal.
Back to normal.
Hey, but I'm going to refuse to wear Browns gear until they change the quarterback. Because if they change our quarterback, we win.
You want them to weeding out.
I want them to smoke Whedon.
The number is 347-945-5229. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today. We've been just goofing off. We've been talking about Obamacare, money, finances, marriage, women. Diva said it's the administration's fault that Obamacare's rollout is not working right. She didn't blame Bush. Folks are, you know.
That's why you were late.
I ran into a ditch.
Driving here, got to an accident when she said,
I couldn't believe it. I drove straight off the road.
No.
$75 towed me out the.
How? You'll adjust some money. Local call, your mic is on.
Look out, Hillary. Hey. The Terminator's coming. Did you catch it where Arnold wants to try to see what he can do to change the law so he can run for president?
Have you seen the state of California?
Yeah.
Now he wants to California.
Well, we got one foreign-born.
The United States.
Right? We got one foreign-born president. Obama born in Kenya?
Oh, there you guys
go.
I'm telling you, that thing looks really legitimate.
But my question is, now, caller, listen, honey, you can't. Schwarzenegger can't be president of the United States of America. He wasn't a good governor.
He wanted to be president of California.
He was governor of California.
President of California. If we go back to Bush Sr., he talked about the New World Order, and I know you've been throwing money around and banks and stuff, and correct me if I'm wrong, most monies are funneled through the World Bank, right?
Most money's funneled to the World Bank or the – most money goes to the World Bank or Federal Reserve?
Our money all –
our money,
all begins and ends at the Federal Reserve.
Yeah,
we don't have any money.
Our currency ends in the pockets of a politician.
Yeah, we haven't had any money since 1913.
Yeah, I was thinking of Corzine. He lost, what, $1.7 billion or something? He couldn't account for it.
But that's different.
But that's private money. That was money through his hedge fund.
Yeah. Anyway, keep up the good work. I love listening, and I don't know where we're headed, but...
We're going to work hard at it. We're going to make a difference, or at least we're going to impact something along the way.
Listen, go ahead.
Speaking of what's happening, like the Democrats, let's see, they were what, in charge? I heard Alex say one day, what, since the 50s or something, and Detroit went down. But that's a lot of states are going to follow.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the only one.
Absolutely, but you can't give everybody everything and negotiate and let the allow the unions to control your negotiation process, put their people in where they can't say no to them, and think you're going to have money at the end of the day. That's just not how bureaucracy or good business works.
Right.
You have to make decisions, and you can't be everybody's friends. And if you know, I think who told the story? I think it was Alabama that told the story about. Whoever feeds you controls you.
Yep.
But you got to understand, a lot of our politicians have been controlled and fed by other entities that have not been the American people. And we have allowed them to take control of our major cities, including the ones we live in right now. And then we wonder why we don't have what we need. That includes our school boards. That includes our, you know, our political system. You know, right now in the Mahoning Valley, we bought a white whale. We're spending up something like $16 million to try to keep it alive. And $16 million, we could have built, you know, a government center that would have been state-of-the-art.
Well, what was that Mark was talking about, that $3 million for that one city block for teach people how to garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know 1,500 cow operations that don't operate on $500,000 a year.
But you got to pay the people. You got to pay the administrators to sit around and ride in the big red truck.
And
bring back Reaganomics.
Bring the Amish in. They know how to live. They don't bother anybody.
That's right.
Yeah, they do. They live great too. If anybody wants to know, go over to the Amish marketplace. They do well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm for bringing back Reaganomics. I mean, let's get rid of bureaucracy.
Absolutely. Abomination.
Yep.
Abomination.
Under God, he is. Yes, he is.
Bureaucracy.
Yeah. Let's go back to Reaganomics and get rid of bureaucracy.
Do you think Reaganomics was better?
Yes, I do. I mean, evidently it was because the markets thrived. There was no unemployment. And
Bill Clinton used the same formula.
Yeah, and he was even able to balance the budget after so many years of Reaganomics. So, yeah,
no,
I think.
It's not economy stupid now. It's the common sense comes first. That's what we've got to work on.
There's common sense is no longer common.
Right.
Yeah.
All controls.
Well, the thing is that the American people have been hornswoggled into believing that a government job creates wealth. And the reason you can have government jobs is because you have a healthy private economy, because it's the private economy that pays for the government jobs. A bankrupt city cannot afford fire protection, period.
Then don't light no candles.
Pelosi said, what did she say, welfare? It
food,
stimulates
yeah,
the economy.
Yeah, food stamps stimulates the economy. I ain't figured out how that works.
It does.
It stimulates the economy because it keeps things going.
More brainwashing.
She's adult. And I don't understand how anybody really thinks that she's not adult.
She's
D-O-L-T.
Because she's bought and paid for, and she does what the people that are paying her pay her to do.
Of course. I mean, who else would make a statement like, well, just pass this bill now. We don't need to read it.
You guys are...
Can we pass it? Can we pass the bill to find out what is in
yes.
the bill?
You know what it is? You guys are just biased against women.
Let's just tell our kids, hey, you don't have to read the book before you take the test.
Here's the thing, the government shutdown. All right? I'm a former union guy. I have yet to see a bargaining unit that the company come to them when they were on strike and says, I'll tell you what, you go back, you sign this blank contract, and you go back to work, then we'll negotiate the terms after it's over.
Right. That's a good one.
We should all have gone to Washington and been on those steps. The very next day after she said that, we should have been there.
With guns.
You're absolutely correct.
There were quite a few people that did go when they were voting on that bill. And when it passed... If you remember, the entire Democrat legislation, headed up by Nancy Pelosi, who didn't want anybody to know what was in the bill before it was passed, they decided to have a little parade through the crowd while she was holding, well, the legislation that was signed in the air for all to see. Talk about rubbing it in your face a little bit. And that's how...
Well,
Our liberal bureaucracy is ruining this country right now.
And what bothers me is it had people like John Conyers who claimed that people were using racial slurs and spitting on him, but yet nobody could produce one second of video showing that.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
That
was a bit much. Diva, go ahead.
You guys do realize the bill that passed the House is not the bill that passed the Senate, and it's not the bill that actually was passed into law, signed into law, right? You guys do understand that, because you guys keep focusing on the House bill.
It has to be. It has to be the same law, Diva.
Yes, no, it does not.
The law, the way the Constitution works is the law has to have the identical verbiage in both houses of Congress and passed in both houses of Congress. The identical bill has to be passed both places before it goes to the president for signature.
Exactly. Okay, this is how it happens, Sticks. You had the House bill that came out. You had the Senate who tried to come work out their own version. So when the Senate had their own version, the House had their own version, it went into what's called its conference. So these two sides came together, worked out a bill,
It passed the House. Then they take it back to the House. It passed the House. Then it passed through the Senate.
Family.
Bill that came, the first bill that came off the House was not the bill that we have now. So that 12,000-page or whatever that Nancy was talking about didn't read, that's not the bill that was actually passed out of Congress.
But listen, they were all
How do we
bad.
Know that? How do we know that? They never read it.
That's true, too.
Because the Senate widowed, the Senate cut down on significantly
well,
on those pages. It had to
they never
in order
read it.
To pass
How do they know?
The filibuster.
Well,
I've got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll be right back.
And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Woodman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland. At Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print. Signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store.
Diva, are you there?
I'm here,
yeah.
Matt. And
I've been waiting. I'm not going to argue about it, but I got to ask you a question. When we're talking about the original health care legislation that went through, the House was Democrat-controlled. The Senate was Democrat-controlled. And the President was Barack Obama, a Democrat. You're telling me that the legislation that passed through, it wasn't the original legislation that the House drew up. The Senate drew up a different piece of legislation, even though it was all Democratic-controlled and they agreed on the health care law as they saw it. You're saying that they went against their own belief? Is that what you're saying?
You have to understand, we had Blanche Lincoln, Evan Bay of Indiana. We had some very conservative Democrats in the Senate who were in very red districts who were coming up for reelection. So they could not get that bill as it stood, as it came out the House, which, yeah, I mean, some of the stuff in there, yeah, I wouldn't have voted for it either. They couldn't get that bill passed. So in order for them to get a bill out of the Senate had to draw up its own bill. And in order for it to get past the filibuster. Now, Susan Collins is one of the – Susan Collins and another Republican is the main reason why we have a lot of this stuff, such as the exchanges and the mandate out of the Senate bill. And – that's how it ended up in Congress. Yeah, just because we have Democrats don't mean they all agree as you all think they do. We had some very conservative Democrats who was filibustering.
So you're saying the exchanges and the mandate was an idea that the Senate drew up in legislation separate from the original House bill?
Yes, because the House bill had a public option. The way the House bill was drafted, it had a public option in it. And when the Senate started fighting about the bill, President Obama gave the Senate the okay to drop their own bill or strip out a lot of stuff that the House bill had. So basically it changed the bill. And it took out the public option and put in the exchanges, and we ended up with a mandate.
So what went to the Supreme Court when you're talking about taking out the public option, which is kind of like a single-payer mandate?
Well, no, the way the public option would have worked, it was a voluntary program for people who did not have employer health care or they were paying too much in insurance, and they could opt in for, I think it was about $25 to $50 a month to get services that a person would get, that Congress gets, or Medicare or Medicaid. And it was for those people who are above the threshold of Medicaid and wouldn't qualify, and they could voluntarily sign up for it. That is what came out of the House. That was stripped out. The Senate wrote a different bill, went into conference. The both bills came together, and the public option didn't last out of conference. We got the exchanges. We got the mandate. The bill that came out of conference is the bill that went back to the House, was passed in the House. Nancy Pelosi was able to get her people. Then it went to the Senate. That was the bill that Susan Collins was behind, her and I think it was three or four other Republicans, and they voted for to not have a filibuster so that it can actually come up for a regular vote. And then that bill was passed and signed into law. So we did get one bill, but the original bill out of the House is not the bill that we have that's signed into law as of now.
Bonnie?
What?
Did you follow any of that?
Well, I've been listening a long time, Matt, and you know the Mr. Brown that called, not Mr. Brown, the older
Mr.
gentleman that
Sir
called
Beasley.
And says we should rally together and get him impeached. If there is any truth in what Diva said, that is pure reason to impeach him.
Well, that's not. How is that impeached?
Because you can't change a bill. At the very beginning of this break, Diva.
Article 1.
You know what the electric company is, Diva? It's like Sesame Street.
The electric company is not the government.
Stop.
Article 1, Section 8, I believe it's playing in the prompts, Diva.
That was like
all bills dealing with money has to originate from
the
House.
Sakes.
The Senate has the right to write bills about policy. The Senate has the authority to write their own bills as long as it doesn't deal with the purse.
Building here in Washington.
Saying,
Diva can
take over a room earlier this morning? Is that Diana?
I'm just a bill.
Alabama.
I don't know.
And I'm sitting here on
Capitol Hill.
Well, it's a
so if anybody wants to know, you look up Schoolhouse Rock. It'll teach you how a bill becomes a law.
Tracy, I couldn't think of Schoolhouse Rock. I thought it was the electric company. I made a mistake, Diva. It's Schoolhouse Rock. So I can't correct it.
I will, but today I am still just a
bill.
See, Diva, when we were children, this was part of Saturday morning cartoons. There was a whole bunch of them. There was Conjunction Junction. And
what's your function?
Hooking up phrases.
What was the math one? There was a math one even. I can't remember what the math one was.
Multiplication something.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Multiplication train or something.
It was the bomb.
I have to ask you guys. Dix told me something during the break that I didn't know.
What you call it?
Yeah. Snicks. Yeah. Oprah threw the president under the bus.
Oh.
Yeah, and I looked it up just to make sure because I thought he was telling me a story because, you know, some folks come and tell me stories.
Greyhound or
It was
a mega bus.
What was that big black bus that he took on the tour?
Yeah.
They called it the Death Star.
listen here. Guys, I got to throw this. I got to tell y'all this. Now, listen here. Oprah Winfrey gave an unequivocal no to selling Obamacare.
Ooh.
Oprah Winfrey downright refused an invitation to the White House and the opportunity to join a host of celebrities to sell Obamacare over the summer. She said all of Oprah's top people thought she would go, but because when the president invites you to the White House, most people automatically say yes. Ms. Winfrey told him, kick rocks.
No.
That's because she wants single payer.
Oh, come on, Diva.
She does.
Diva, she can pay for her own insurance.
Listen,
Sweetheart,
she doesn't
listen.
Need insurance.
Listen here. No, guys, listen to this.
Ever.
Jeff, you can't get Diva to go against the White House twice in one day. You're pushing it.
I'm pushing it. I apologize. I apologize. Diva, don't you remember when Oprah was supposed to do something at the White House and thing said, don't you let her come in here with her fat behind?
Oprah Winfrey Network was supposed to have unfettered access to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the president got elected, I guess Michelle decided that she didn't like Oprah around.
The rest of America was supposed to have unfettered access to all bills that were going to be written.
Everything was going to be on C-SPAN. I forgot about that.
What promise did Obama make that he did keep? Can you name one?
Are you guys saying
Obamacare?
For single payer. I mean, there's a lot of people on the left who do not like the ACA because it doesn't go far enough. It's not single payer. It doesn't have a public option. That's why a lot of people on the left do not like it. They don't like that the private industry has a hand in it.
But if you look at the backstory on this, the reason Oprah Winfrey did not go is because she was slighted by the Obamas.
That's not why she didn't go after it. That's not why she said no to Obamacare. Oprah Winfrey is a very, very smart woman.
Yes, she is.
You don't get to have that kind of money without being smart.
You know that makes money, that noise over there, right?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
That's
it's like
Jeff.
Opening. Oh, okay. All right.
Why I get thrown under the bus?
Because it's usually you.
Because there isn't a Bush in the room.
Uh-oh. Look out. We already spent $500 million on a website. We're going to spend $2.5 more billion.
Alabama, I think, is off the phone, but you know what? Maybe he and I can hook up and get a business. We can get a contract so we can help him fix this property. He's an IT guy. I can be your promotions lady. We can work this out.
There you go.
No. I don't think the problem is the website. I think it's the bill itself.
No, it's not the bill. It's the website. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, it's the whole thing.
It's not a
bill. It's a law. A bill is something that has not been signed.
It's a law. And it's bad law.
And the law stinks. And the law is going to be
Y'all don't even really understand what the law does. So, I mean.
I know what it does, Diva. You know what it does?
You know what it does coming down a long run. But to understanding
what I'll give you one little thing. It lets the government control 1/6 of the U.S. economy and everybody's life included. So there's nothing that they can't make you not make you do now.
Can't tell me what it entails. You can tell me what you don't like about it. You can tell me how bad it is.
Yeah, I can tell you exactly what it entails.
Death panels.
It entails a system that is so malignantly grown into the people that they'll never, ever get out of it. That's what it entails.
And what's the
control
system?
Of the people by the government is what it entails. And what it does is it makes you have to buy something that you don't want to buy.
Okay, but what's the system?
I don't understand what you're saying. What the system?
She wants you to explain 18,000 pages of legislation right now.
18,000.
The legislation. You can explain it right off the top of your head if you really knew what it did.
Diva, you can't explain 22,000 pages of regulation.
I don't have to be able to explain 22,000. Pages of regulation, I can explain to you exactly how it operates and what it does.
Yeah, you know who else?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're interested.
Yeah, tell us how it operates and what it does.
The Affordable Health Care Act is regulation that regulates the private insurance industry. It does not provide a person with particular insurance. However, it does mandate that a person must buy insurance. Now, to counter with the egregious acts and abusive practices of the insurance industry, the government tried to implement a system where these private industry insurance can come into one pool and people can shop, and then it will create a competitive market. Does it work? We don't really know. It hasn't really rolled out all that great as of yet. But that's what the system does.
Wow. Part of the bill references, there's like a bunch of times in the bill because I tried to read it. It references, I don't know how many
Listen,
other laws.
Alabama, you said you tried to read it?
I tried. It was just a bunch of legal jargon. I mean, you really need a big lexicon.
Philadelphia lawyer.
You need a lawyer. You need a, and this is the thing, it references other laws. So no one can understand it in its entirety unless they go grab those other laws. You just read it directly, it'll tell you something. You go grab all the other laws, it'll tell you something else.
Answer me this, Diva. Why should the federal government tell me if I have to buy health care at all and what health care coverages I should have to buy?
I have a question. Have you guys noticed that a lot of people are getting notices from their insurance companies saying that their doctors are no longer part of their network?
Yes. Their doctors are no longer part of their network. We're no longer allowed to issue you the policy you have. We have to issue this other policy that costs 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 times as much money as what you're paying now.
But you can keep your program if you want it.
There was a fellow I heard the other day. His insurance went from $150 a piece for him and his wife to $900 a month a piece with a $12,000 deductible.
Mm-hmm.
Because the coverage he used to have, because the coverage he used to have is no longer legal, and that was the minimum coverage he could get that was under the law.
I've been saying this from the beginning that this bill was passed into law, that these complaints, these particular complaints, is why we're going to end up in single payer. They gave people slightly what they wanted. You wanted to keep it in the private industry. They did that. And because there's no real competition, now the insurance companies are doing egregious practices. No, they don't have to do all this stuff. They choose.
We talked about this ad nauseum, and I really have to say this. Do we really understand that we said if you would just allow the insurance companies to compete across states?
Yep.
You wouldn't have that.
And have tort reform. It would have done better than what they've done. Whether you like it or not, this is all about control. And do you realize? And I believe that you are one of those people that you believe and you understand one world order. This is about making sure mechanisms are in place whereas they can control the populace at will. Your police state, your militia,
military industrial complex?
No, when they tell you can't come out the house.
Oh, martial law.
Martial law. All that kind of stuff is to make sure they
and
have.
And that's in the bill too.
They all in there.
They can call a medical emergency and declare national martial law.
And if you look at all the departments that are a part of the administration now that have not been there over 10 years, or should I say over 15 years, and if you look at what they've done with FEMA, what they've done with the taxes, what they've done with the Homeland Security, done with the Patriot Act, all these laws that they've put together and all these. Executive orders and all these things that they've done, what they're doing is they're preparing for control of the populace. The problem is America does not realize that they're getting ready to become more controlled than what they are because they already control you. You just don't pay attention to the control that they're controlling.
And the go ahead, Matt.
Well, it's sort of like the Jewish population in Germany in 36, 37, 38.
Like I said, give me a bar of soap and send me into a shower and then turn on the gas. I think I'm going to take a bath.
And the thing is, the people that do see this coming, we're called kooks and conspiracy theorists and all this stuff. And going back to the insurance thing, Diva, what they did with this law was they told the insurance companies you need to compete, but they put them in a swimming pool with a 100-pound weight around their neck and said swim.
This is not a Republican Democrat. This is a progressive liberal conservative. This is all about doing the right thing, and the right thing is not being done because they really don't care about you.
Do you remember, Tracy, when I first came on your program years ago and we were talking about socialism and you said, don't say that. People don't know what it means.
That's true.
Mm. I guess I should have been saying it a lot louder.
It wouldn't have helped because, again, I would not believe with my own self.
But I told you. I told you this was going to happen, didn't I?
Do you want me to say yes? You told me so.
Well,
is that where you're going?
Did I not tell you though?
There's a national,
and I did, and I would not. I would not allow them to actually start calling people socialists.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought socialists. I said no. America would never let this happen.
There's a national radio host that Jeff and I listen to regularly. He said 5 years ago, you will not recognize your country. And I don't recognize my country.
The reason why people are allowing this to happen is because my sister, who makes $80,000 a year, she has a very sick asthmatic child, spent 5 days in the ICU and 3 days on the general floor, and racked up a huge hospital bill. that the insurance company is saying that she has to pay 20% of that. Okay,
well,
that's the insurance she has. But it's a lot of people out there like that, that it's getting to become out of hand for them.
What gives her a right to demand medical treatment for that child without paying the doctor?
Listen,
it's not about not paying the doctor. It's about the cost. Does it really cost $200 for a pill? One pill?
I mean,
can I
mean,
just
go ahead, Alex.
But you got to understand, you know, there's medication out there right now that people have $1,000 deductible.
I understand that. Fully understand that.
So what do I do?
Get rid of the middleman. Get rid of the insurance companies.
My deductible for my pills are $1,000.
Like I said.
My deductible.
Get rid of the middleman.
How many people call that 1-800 number that's on the little ad that says if you need help with your medication, call this number.
They do. But again.
Yeah, but not
again,
everybody
if you
calls
make, not, let me say, a lot of people don't fall into the requirements by a couple dollars. You got senior citizens that don't fall into the requirements by a couple pennies. I mean, by the time you look, I mean,
which is what happened with the exchanges. If you make another dollar, your deductible goes through the roof.
Go ahead, Alex.
Okay. When it comes to the cost of health care, I mean, though, like the Diva brought up and you, Tracy, I see those as valid concerns. And I think that what ends up happening is, people for the bill or for this law, the ACA, they demagogue the issue, saying that you want to just stick people with enormous bills or without health care and all that. But see, the problem is that we're not addressing the reason why health care is so expensive in the first place. And it's not the insurance companies either, because if you look at the bills that these doctors and medical centers stick the insurance companies with and see what they have to pay, if you actually looked at objective studies of the actual profits of these insurance companies, of the medical insurance companies, their profit margin is less than 10%. On average, they're only 5% of their revenues, actually went into profits because the cost of medical care going up really isn't they're doing. It's the reason why medical care is going up is because of the intrusion of government. And then we want to turn around and go to the same people who caused the problem to say, hey, fix this problem. And it doesn't make any sense at all. Because the reason why all your drugs are so expensive is because of the FDA. The big corporations, the same ones that want to sell you the drugs, they go to lobby to the FDA to have regulations written. That's written by those same companies. So then what that does is cause – it costs between $80 and $150 million just to bring out a single drug. Well, no small company can afford that. So what that does is it drives all the little people out of the market, and all you have is the big guys at Pfizer and GlaxoSmithKline and whatever. And, to make that money back, yeah, they're going to knock you over the head to get that back. But it doesn't have to be that way. And it's the same way with your doctors. Doctors weren't always licensed. There's no reason why if a chiropractor or an herbalist works for you, certain practitioners shouldn't be punished for treating people if those people are adults and give their consent to that treatment.
Right.
But that's illegal.
I mean, that's like doing hair, Alex. Right now I got to go get a license to braid your hair.
Exactly, and this is what I'm talking about. It's government that causes problem. They don't only do it medical care, like you said. It's across the board, and that's the reason why doctors they get paid so much because you have this moral hazard that's infused into the economy, where now all the medical schools say, since the government is mandating this licensure, we're going to increase our tuition. And so then doctors have to charge more to pay for that. Same way with the student loan programs. Everybody, they're coming out of school $50,000, $100,000 in debt and can't find a job. It's all government. And then when we go back to the government and ask them to fix the problem that they caused, they can't fix it. The only way to fix it is to get them out of the way.
Yeah, we have a case study in decreasing medical costs in LASIK and in cosmetic surgery, because those are routinely not covered by insurance, and they've been getting cheaper and better over the years. And right there is the case study for getting the government out of health care.
Can I say this?
Uh-huh.
It ain't going to happen, Captain. We need to come up with real solutions.
No, I mean, literally, I know that firsthand. Because my ex's implants were a lot less than what they would have been 5 years ago.
What kind of implants were those?
Throw her under the bus.
It wasn't intelligent implants, let me tell you.
Just what kind of implants are you referring to, young man?
Let's just call them what they are. You know, they're implants. So. No, and it's true. Literally, I mean, you know, when she looked into it 5 years ago, it was a lot more expensive than it is now.
LASIK surgery is probably
the biggest
one. I remember.
Most definitely.
I remember 10 years
ago. Over the years, it's gotten more expensive.
No, it hasn't.
What's gotten more expensive?
A bag of saline. Cost me $200. It didn't cost me because I was on Medicaid, but I got the bill. Bag of saline when I was in the hospital for those 2 weeks last year.
A bag of saline is in a cosmetic surgery.
$200, and I had 60 bags.
It's not a covered.
Diva, I do not want to hear about you using Fix-A-Flat. Because they did that down in Florida and it didn't work.
When I was in the hospital last year fighting for my life, I had to have 60 bags of saline.
Diva, that's not implant. That's money making. It's like when you go there and ask for a
saline water solution.
Yeah, in 1972, they charged my grandfather $25 a piece for aspirins.
Okay.
They still charge
$25. You know the IV bag, saline solution in it? That's what I'm talking about.
Diva,
some have saline, some have
saline. Listen, Diva, stop. This, remember this. Business is this way. I can drink water out the spigot at no charge. But if you come into my restaurant, depending on which restaurant you go in, that bottle of water, that same Perrier bottle of water, Nescafe, whoever, it goes all the way up to $5 a bottle. I've been in places where they charge me $5 for a single 8-ounce bottle of, water.
Well,
the science of water.
I can't drink enough water to reverse the condition I ended in. So I needed some emergency medical services, okay? That was $200
a
bag. $260
Diva, you're comparing apples to oranges, honey.
We're talking about plastic surgery, Diva.
You're not even making. It's a whole different thing.
You're talking about an industry that the costs have gone down, but healthcare has not. The cost of healthcare has not gone down.
And the reason is because the insurance companies haven't kept their hands out of it.
You're missing the big flick.
Okay.
You're missing the big flick, and the big flick is in the healthcare areas that people pay for out of their own back pockets. Costs go down, and if we got the insurance companies and the government out of it, costs for most things would go down.
Can I ask you a question?
Friend.
Hold on, Diva. I gotta get some definition clarification. What is a big flick?
That's a United States Navy term for the big picture. Big flick is in movie. Flick, get it?
Okay. Just checking. All right. Just go ahead, Diva.
My friend paid out of his pocket for health for a doctor's visit the same amount that was charged to his son who was on Medicaid.
Diva, what they're saying is when you have competition.
Yeah, she doesn't get it.
When you have competition.
Free market.
No. I said competition. People don't understand free market.
Yep.
When you have competition, it drives the prices down.
Right.
When you have a monopoly, it drives the prices up.
When across the state lines, or you guys are saying that will increase competition and that will drive down
correct.
The cost.
Correct. What happens right now? When you go have Anthem Ohio and Anthem PA, they're not the same Anthem.
Right.
They're only licensed to sell insurance within just Ohio. And then you go down and you have
I wonder if Obamacare will cover the baldness cure.
No.
No?
Why not?
Because you lie.
Oh, okay. So
I'm
wondering,
when the opportunity presented itself, when the Senate was coming up writing their version of the health care bill, with Susan Collins, who had held a lot of power at that moment, a Republican, why didn't she advocate for that?
I want you to understand.
Wait a minute. Did you hear that? Hold on, Diva. Did you hear that?
Which one?
What she just said, that why didn't the Republicans advocate for
that? Hold on, Jeff.
That's
Diva,
the stuff
Diva,
that makes me just
Diva,
pull
Diva,
my hair out
Diva.
At the roots.
Honey,
she did.
Listen, the Senate, hold on. And guys, this is FYI.
Oh,
the Senate did not. The Senate did not write the health care bill and or law. Neither did the House.
The insurance companies
wrote it, and a whole bunch
and
of
the
lobbyists.
The pharmaceutical companies wrote it.
And they came together and they did what they wanted to do that was going to make sure that they won based upon the outcomes of the election and favors that were owed. And we need to understand, we send Manny Moe and Jack to Congress like they're going to do a job, and there are staffers and there are people that they get paid a whole lot more than $165,000 that they get paid to write the bills based upon what they think. And it's a real big game, and they're playing games with America.
It's my understanding when a brandy new congressman gets to Congress, he's already had his staff chosen for him.
Hey, Tracy, you left one important thing out. You talked about the people that actually did come together and write it and the people that came together and discussed it. You forgot to mention the elected representatives that we had in Congress and Senate that refused to read it and then voted on it.
Yeah. What do you mean, read it? I will bet you dollars to donuts they haven't read a bill since they've been in Congress.
Well, no, you can't do that because they read some of them.
How can you read the bill? People say, read the bill. How can you read the bill without a Philadelphia lawyer?
How can we understand everything that's in that bill when it's not?
You got to pass it to read it.
Supposedly how our government is supposed to those work is that, you know, Congress is supposed to write the bills, not take somebody else's version of what they think is a good bill and not read it and then pass it.
They don't read. That's what I'm saying. The staffers write the bills. They don't write these bills.
So what I'm telling you is that I don't think they're doing their job. They ought to be fired.
We put together an entire nation on 12 pages, and yet it takes 1,800 or 2,100
to get health care.
Wow.
Well, the first bill that passed the House had a lot of pork in it too. So.
Oh, guess what?
The last budget that they passed the other day of the shutdown.
Yeah,
Here we go again.
This is what burns me up.
Right.
She believes what she just said.
Yep.
She believes that the only person to put pork in there is a Republican because that's all the stupid behind press reported to her. So she
what other pork was out there? What other pork was in there then?
You go
we
look
know
it
McConnell
up.
Got $3 billion for his state, so
because he was against the bill.
I'm going
to That's the only
okay,
reason why they
I'm
put
going.
It on there.
Who got what?
We'll start out tomorrow.
Now talk about them too.
I've got to go. I love you guys. It's been real. It's Monday. If I'm only a bill. So I just want everyone to go and check out Schoolhouse Rock until tomorrow. God bless you guys. A6, good seeing you. See you on Wednesday. Ben, it's always good seeing you. And Jeff, I'll see you on tomorrow. Callers, you know I always love you. I appreciate you. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll probably have an open mic or something on that order. I'm quite sure Jeff's going to stir up a tantrum. We'll see you guys on tomorrow. God bless.
No, you know what?
You certainly have a lot of patience and courage.